to live just sitting funny.
You're listening to Morning Sedition, presented by AirAmericaPlace.com. If you enjoy these downloads, please consider making a small donation. Even a $1 monthly donation will go a long way to keep our web service free from advertising. Click Donate on the Air America Place homepage to find out how.
Mark Maron, it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, idiots, stupid people, victims, liberals, Democrats, progressives, anarchists, and of course, Republicans. We are inviting the Republicans to listen and, just to seethe if they'd like.
Or perhaps change sides. How would that be?
Welcome to New York, now get out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're all leaving. Some of them are like, we're just coming in for an hour, and then we're taking off. Schwarzenegger's going to be gone in like an hour.
He'll be gone Tuesday. He speaks Monday, gone Tuesday. Jeb Bush is not coming at all.
Yeah, that's because, whenever he gets around his brother, they want to do blow all night. And I just don't think that's going to be the right thing to do for this particular convention. Had it been their father's convention, back in the day, when they both stayed up.
Well, I don't even want to speculate about what they might have been doing.
What are you kidding me? They were up all night doing blow, and W was going, he liked me better. He liked me better. And Jeff was like, no, he liked me better. I'm the better politician. No, I don't even care.
I executed more people than you, Jeff.
Yeah, I can kill people. How many people you killed, Jeff?
They're still doing it, too, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, really. It's like, hey, to open up, good morning, death. Good morning, here's some death. How would you like some, how about a little of this?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
A recent poll has people that there is apparently a lot of people that actually like George Bush, that he's a likable guy, that people, one of the reasons that people vote, most people, oddly, is whether or not they feel like they have a gut feeling about whether this guy's a real guy, whether they like him, the likability factor. But if you look at Bush, like, you and I may not be able to understand that. I understand it to a certain degree.
I absolutely do not understand.
Well, I've grown up, it's weird, there's a certain type of bully that some people find very charming, and I understand that deep within George Bush's core, the most important thing to him in the world, I think, is that people like him. And I think that he accommodates powerful people because, he wants them to like him. And now he is like the front man for all of this evil, based on his ability to get people to like him. Because there's obviously 48% of the people who have decided to vote like George Bush because they believe that stubbornness, belligerence, and arrogance is somehow equates strength. Mm-hmm. Which I don't understand that completely, but I understand why they think that. Because if you have there's a certain type of bitterness that when you see someone like George Bush being arrogant, belligerent, and stubborn publicly, and that doesn't mean he has character, it doesn't mean he is steadfast, it doesn't mean he has commitment, it means that he's stubborn, belligerent, and arrogant, and he's fronting for people that, want to control the world for as long as possible. So when you're bitter in a certain way, that guy represents, he's the guy that's going to stand up for you just because of his arrogance, belligerence, and his strength, not because of his religious convictions or his policies, just because it feels good to have a bully in office.
Well, see, this was part of Ronald Reagan's great appeal. America had been through the whole Iran hostage crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Gas prices were going through the roof. Jimmy Carter didn't seem like he could do anything about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So here comes Ronald Reagan, who said, I'm going to do something about something. And people bought into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing that George W. Bush is trying to project on the stage as we head into this convention, which, God help us, starts next. Didn't you get a hold of Miss Cleo, man, to get rid of the bad juju around?
They're already starting. There's a lot. Before we talk about the convention.
Yeah, I shouldn't have gone there.
But. No, of course we can go there. I mean, we're going to be going there all day.
That's the sad part. We're going to be going every morning for all of next week.
But I just, there's something over there in my papers that I need to talk for a second, Mark.
Go ahead. You can find those papers. By the way, is it true that our network brethren and sistren are abandoning ship on the Good Ship Lollipop over at the Garden?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Is that true?
No, I'm just speculating.
Are some people, yeah.
I don't know. I heard some of them didn't want to go. And I understand that because I don't want to go.
Yeah.
But there are things, when you do this job, there are some things that you have to. I've been to Republican conventions before.
Yeah.
I've felt the hate.
Yeah.
I've seen the seething.
Yeah.
I've experienced the bile.
Yeah.
All right? You know, they see me, they look at me, whoa, wait, I got an earring in my ear?
Yeah.
I'm meat at a Republican convention. I've been on the floor. Okay.
Mark Meat Riley at the convention.
That's right. I won't even go to any of their parties.
Well, we're all going to get little mini disc recorders, and hopefully we can sneak around and do some stuff and talk to some people, maybe do some guerrilla work. I don't know if that's going to pan out because we're going to be there at 6 to 9, so it's going to be tough to say, you know, who's going to be there. But Thomas Frank's going to be hanging out with us one day.
Yeah.
We've got some good guests lined up. I'm really hoping I can get Thomas Frank to stay with us for an hour or so to sort of comment about what's going on the night before, because I think he's on Tuesday or Wednesday. And then, I've always been a big fan of his, and I'm still a big fan of his. And today, who do we got on the show? Today, we got Lewis Black to end the show. He's going to give me a call, our
uh-oh,
old buddy Lewis Black. He's got some things going on. That's way later in the show. We've got Mark Umili, who is the author of Bush Unplugged, to talk about the real George Bush.
Yeah, would he please sit down?
Yeah, and Rick Perlstein, who is going to be talking about the 1968 protests at the Democratic Convention in Chicago and how that affected the Nixon election. He's the guy that's speculating a bit on how the negative elements of violence and civil disobedience, if it's not done properly. But it's already happened. It's already happened. Actually, before we talk about the protest, I want to give a kitten update. I went out back.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all still there. And there's like five of them. And
are they well fed?
Well, the girl downstairs who is for me, who borrowed my ladder yesterday, Jody, she's been feeding them because she can't help herself. She's got two big fat cats herself. And I've been looking at these kittens, and I was trying to rationalize it, like sort of like, they'll be okay. There's plenty of garbage, and they seem to be comfortable in the alley. Yeah. But now, my wife's got me thinking they're all getting infested, and it's going to be a matter of weeks before they start knocking each other up, and there's going to be all those, sort of midget incest cats that, like my cat Butch was, though a genius, was a result, a byproduct of incest, and therefore a midget with a big heart. But I don't know what that means, but
hey,
it's the truth.
I have an affinity for Butch since you started talking about her and since she passed on to the great beyond.
Yeah, Butch was a dwarf, but a genius dwarf cat. So now I'm going to try and take in two of these cats today. So there you go. There, I'm going to grab a couple of them, and I'm going to try. I think the people upstairs have taken one in, too, because this morning I heard this.
Oh, yeah.
You know that thing where you're like, what's that? I haven't heard that before. Oh, they must have picked up on those kittens.
Or it's a mouse.
Sure. That's a big mouse. If I'm hearing that through the ceiling.
Welcome to New York. We got my
giant mouse. Man, I've had mouse in my apartment. I had one of those. Oh, listen, man. Just like, why don't they talk about the issues? I got those big glue traps around because the exterminator put them in there for roaches. And every time I see them,
You're worried that one day you're going to wake up and there's going to be one quivering that glue strip.
Flopping around.
It'll still be alive. I'll tell you right now, there's only one way to deal with it.
Yeah, you gotta either step on it or suffocate it.
A hammer.
Oh, wait, I think we had this conversation once before.
Suffocating a rat is kind of cruel and unusual. Hammer to the head.
Unless it's, yeah.
End of story. Fight over.
Well, here we go. Here, let's take a look at what's going on in the protest. Who's winning? In one event yesterday, several members of ACT UP blocked traffic naked on 8th Avenue in front of Madison Square Garden, the convention site, to protest the Bush administration's record on AIDS. Naked.
Oh, yeah.
There's like eight people, men and women.
Yes.
And then, I thought they might just start singing out of protest for taking the naked singing guys off of the little brochure for the Republicans. But no.
Wasn't the cast?
No, it wasn't the cast. And apparently it was a pretty successful and creative protest.
How many of them got busted?
I don't know. How many did get busted? Did it say right here the result? In 11 arrests on misdemeanor charges.
Oh, okay.
So they'll be out,
Yeah,
and
I hope they gave them
their clothes in the jail cell. In second place, five members of a group called the No Police State Coalition were arrested at Union Square and 14th Street after they continued to use a bullhorn after the police warned them that they could not. What is that? They haven't even got a law in this city that stops the car alarms.
Do you know what I mean? Wait. A bullhorn? They use them in the train station at Union Square.
That is ridiculous.
Attention passengers, the car is out of service. Get off the train. They use bullhorns all the time.
Yeah, in third place, members of a group called Operation Sybil rappelled down the front of the... You know what, dude? That should be first place.
Yeah.
Rappelled down the front of the plaza to drape its facade with a giant anti-Bush banner. They get... I'm sorry. I got to switch the route.
That really should be.
Hold on.
I agree with you 100%.
Let me try it. Oh, this drum
roll
is
way too long. Hold
right.
on.
In third place.
And you don't think we listen
place.
To people on our email?
It is too long. We got to cut that thing down. And that takes forever. It's like by the time that drum roll gets done, you're like,
we're into commercial.
You're already done with it. You know, it's like it actually takes you past the point where you're supposed to have that ejaculation of excitement that comes at the end of a drum roll to where you're like, oh, no, am I going to be able to? Oh, yay! Now we got to do it. Oh, here it comes.
Oh.
Am I going to be able to? This is going to be great. And yes, here it is. No. Oh, okay, good. I finished.
Is that all?
Is that it? No, wait. Wait, I'm sorry. Wait. Oh, here it comes. This is going to be great right now. Oh, I'm sorry. No, we can do it again in 20 minutes. So, wait, these guys rappelled down the front of the Plaza Hotel to drape it over the Bush border. The police officer responding to the scene was injured on the roof of the hotel, and four of the people arrested were charged with felony assault, an indication that the police planned to deal harshly with certain protesters, according to the police.
Wait a minute, are they saying that these people resisted, or are they saying felony assault because the cop got hurt?
It seems like it doesn't say that they hit him or resisted. According to the police, the officer received 38 stitches for injuries to his leg. So he was injured on the roof. It's not an assault. Yeah, he was injured on the roof.
It's not an assault, but they were charged with assault.
But
God bless America.
But see, this to me, like the banner at the hotel, that's not bad. I mean, that, you know, that's okay. That's not violent. That's not, you know, I think it's kind of creative. I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of nadsy.
The cop stepped through a skylight. That's
something
right.
happened.
Yeah.
I also think that is what happened. We definitely got confirmation on that. Okay, so he stepped through a skylight. But the other thing, the naked people, I like that. Naked people, okay. Who's going to beat up naked people? Do you know what I mean? That's pretty creative. I don't mind that.
Well, yeah, and you know, the cops really kind of have to deal with that with kid gloves, because next thing you know, you'll have a lawsuit on your hands.
And the bullhorn was just overreaction. You know, I mean, it's like, come on. And of course that's
going to
happen.
This is New York, man. Get used to the noise.
But you want to hear about some successful protests, you know, in Iraq.
Najaf. We told you yesterday. What did we say?
The campaign, the return of Sistani after this on Air America Radio.
New York City, September 4th at Town Hall. Mother Jones Magazine presents the State of the Union, an evening of uncensored political comedy to benefit uncensored, uncompromising independent media. Starring Air America host Janine Garofalo and Liz Winstead. Bipartisan smartass Will Durst. Comic artist Ward Sutton, Eugene Merman, and friends. Tickets through Ticketmaster. More information at MotherJones.com.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Olympic beach volleyball champ and Sirius own Kerry Walsh has been calling in from the Olympics.
I'm Kerry Walsh from Sirius 28 Fashion. Hope you guys are doing wonderfully at home. Athens is treating us well.
Giving us updates along the way.
We have four more matches to win, beginning with the single elimination round against China.
In search of Olympic glory.
We're on the road to the goal. Keep your fingers crossed.
Well, we kept them crossed, Kerry. And to you and the rest of the team, congratulations on Olympic gold. From everyone here in your Sirius family.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins. David DeBato, re-up for military service, was rejected, rejected again, and then found a slot in Army Counterintelligence, where he has been serving as a special agent. Are you able to distinguish that there are many of us who have strong support for you and who feel that in many respects you were put in harm's way on a misguided mission?
First of all, I think that the men and women that are serving over there absolutely know why they're there. From what I have seen, they do not feel that they've been lied to. That's just the overwhelming sentiment over there. And again, that's coming from someone that's been over there and has just come back from over there. I also think that, you know, they're a pretty wise group of folks. They do realize, and they can separate out, that the people that may disagree with the administration's policy, the reason why they were sent over to Iraq, can appreciate that they may be against the policy, but yet support the troops.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, I'm Andy Griggs, asking you to help prevent domestic violence. Domestic violence isn't a woman's issue. It hurts all of us. Women are injured and killed every day by their husbands and boyfriends. So it's time for men to take action right now to teach boys that violence against women is wrong, to help prevent abuse before it starts. Call the Family Violence Prevention Fund at 1-800-END-ABUSE to get a free take action kit containing tips on what to say to boys. That's 1-800-END-ABUSE. Teach early.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's 21 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Present.
Wow. So, Najaf, the scene of a tremendous peace march with a lot of fatalities.
A lot of fatalities. 90 people, including an 8-year-old child, I believe.
Oh,
but this
no, I really didn't mean to laugh.
This was the return of Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, who will now, whether they coronate him or not, is he will be the ruler of Iraq. He runs the country.
This was a tremendous campaign move, a tremendous sort of like, this guy's got great political timing.
You know, theater, man.
Right into the right minute, like, you know, when al-Sadr was on his last legs, he'd taken a couple of hits, you know, there was nowhere for him to go but to go out and negotiate by himself, and Sistani just, you know, with, I'm sure, the blessings of all the Ayatollahs of Iran and all the hotshots and all the Shia big guys said, go on in, save the fat man, and let's make this work for us.
You know what was the smartest thing that came out of this, and probably where it turned? Sistani's intervention virtually assured that neither the Iraqi government nor the United States would seriously go after Muqtada al-Sadr with an eye toward either executing that murder warrant that they always talk about or trying to off the guy.
I just got word from my head that the 90 were executed not during the march. It was not apparently a violent march, but before in the fighting before
in the fighting
march,
before the march.
The death toll got up to 90.
And that includes, by the way, 27 people who were killed during this mortar attack on the mosque.
Which was a tremendous opening for al-Sistani. It was quite an opening act. You know what I mean? So not only was it the peace initiative there, was he was going to try to make this this ceasefire with al-Sadr, but, you know, he was able to literally walk over bodies to do it.
You know, I hate to do this because some people may misinterpret it, but from a purely political standpoint, I wish Sistani was advising Kerry, because this was quintessential, I hate to put it this way, but it was political theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
You roll from Basra to Najaf, you tell people, hey, come on with me.
Yeah.
And then the world sees shots of a caravan that's got five people in front of it, and an hour later there's, you know, a swarm, thousands and thousands of people. It was so brilliantly conceived, and the Iraqi government, what did I tell you yesterday?
Alawi, a lot of things.
Would have to go along with this plan.
Yeah,
he did.
We've got no choice because, I mean, if what we've heard from some of our reporters in the area, say, you know, Peter Bergen or Nick
Michael
Ware, is that Alawi is really sort of, he's really stuck in Baghdad, and his power does not really extend in an effective way much beyond that.
Yes, it's absolutely true. And now we are seeing Sistani flex his very considerable muscle here and create a situation that is beneficial to al-Sadr. This was the out that al-Sadr was looking for. He had done some peace overtures.
It was either that or take a big hit. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not ready for martyrdom. I'm not even a full cleric yet. Daddy!
That's right. But you know what?
Yeah.
The only thing that surprises me about this is that the Americans have said, okay, fine. We'll withdraw. We'll withdraw. The Iraqis will withdraw. We will buy into this peace plan. I really thought there might be some resistance on the part of the American military command over there, not wanting to hand Sistani this kind of power. But I think they may have figured at this point they really have no choice.
Well, the game was, I think, is that, you know, this is one of those political trickiness elements of how Bush is or how the administration is going to allow. I think the deal was is like this is one of those situations where they said, you know, we're going to let Alawi make the call here as to, you know, how much U.S. force is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has to, if the U.S. was to make decisions above Alawi's head in this situation, then, you know, Alawi's minimal power already would be diminished even more.
Yeah.
He's got to be made to look like he's making these decisions. He's got to be made to look like he can say, look, you guys, U.S., could you lay off? We're going to handle this in-house here. I'm going to integrate these guys, even though I am assuming that the administration or the Pentagon is still calling most of the shots militarily.
The Pentagon is still calling the shots militarily, but the other thing that the Pentagon has got to deal with, and they've dealt with it by denial, but that doesn't mean anything to most ordinary Iraqis, there is this perception that the mortar attack on the mosque came from the United States, that it was either the Iraqi forces under the control of the United States or the U.S. military itself that shot those mortars that killed those 27 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what they're projecting in Iraq. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but understand that, you know, if you're dealing with folks that don't get a whole heck of a lot of news because they got no electricity to run television sets, then you're in a situation where if that is the prevailing sentiment, then the United States military may not have a lot of wiggle room as far as rejecting Sistani's peace overture. I mean, what could they do?
Right. Because they've already disgraced this holy site. They're already on the outs in terms of...
Yeah, now they might not have. It may well be that the Americans are totally innocent. Because the American military said, we don't even have mortars that can reach that shrine.
But you're saying if Sistani hadn't stepped in, that the insurgents and the violence would not have ended, and it would have gotten worse.
I absolutely believe it would have gotten worse. And then you start looking at the regional situation. You can't just look at Iraq. When the violence with the Shiites gets worse, then you got to start looking at Iran.
Right.
And you got to start looking at other places where the Shia are located and ask yourself whether or not you're going to create a separate and distinct insurgency with separate foreign fighters coming into Iraq to defend these holy shrines. You know, if in Islam you make a call to defend a holy site, that's an obligation.
Well, we're assuming, though, aren't we, Mark, that most of those insurgencies and the people leading the insurgents on a military level were either, Al-Qaeda, local nationalists, but certainly Iranian fighters.
Iranian fighters, but see, now you've got something that the Iranians, you would have had, something the Iranians could have rallied around.
Yeah.
Remember, the Iranians are not crazy about dealing with the Sunnis. They weren't big fans of Saddam and the nationalists.
But all the Shia brass are Iranians.
Yes.
The big shots.
Yes.
A lot of them.
And the majority in Iraq are also Shia.
So I guess the big question is, how do we get these people in Iraq television sets?
I think what's going to have to happen is the Americans are going to have to sit down with Sistani.
Yeah.
And make some serious plans about governance past this election that include him. I don't think he necessarily has the aspiration to run the country. I don't think he wants to be president or prime minister, quite frankly.
Right.
But I do think he wants substantial input. Now, give them input, you're going to make other people very upset.
They're going to have to go through him is what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right about that. Coming up, the president's palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and later, Rick Perlstein of the Village Voice, when we continue here on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts now.
The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts
now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at Barnes & Noble music locations.
The Revolution Starts Now.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. New fighting has broken out in central Baghdad. In Najaf, a truce arranged by Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani appears to be holding. The Arab TV network Al Jazeera says Italian journalist Enzo Baldoni has been executed by his kidnappers in Iraq. Cuba has broken diplomatic ties with Panama because the outgoing president of Panama pardoned four Cuban exiles accused of plotting to kill Fidel Castro. With the start of the Republican National Convention 4 days away, New York City saw no fewer than three protests yesterday. More to come. And the lawyer from Oregon, falsely accused by the FBI of involvement in the Madrid train bombings, has hired celebrity lawyer Jerry Spence to represent him in a lawsuit against the government. When Brandon Mayfield was arrested because of a bogus fingerprint match, the FBI seized his computers and papers, including some Spanish documents that turned out to be his son's Spanish homework. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Here he is.
Welcome to Mr. Speaker Hall and your movie listing for the week of August 38. You know what? There isn't a film worth seeing, but here's an idea. How about full coverage of the Republican National Convention on your Sirius radio? Press 140. Now here.
Okay.
141 and 142 are conservative views with Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tony Snow. For coverage from the left side, press 143, 144, and 149 to hear Young Turks live, Air America, and Sirius LQ. The RNC. Rated G. Opens Monday, August 30th. Thanks for calling Mr. Speaker Hall.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Lance has a problem with the IRS and wants to know what he should do. My advice coming up after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
How should Lance handle his IRS problems? Dave, I have an IRS problem. Should I meet with them alone? No. Or with a professional with me. You should always take a professional with you. There's two problems with the IRS. You have one of three scenarios that can happen. You can meet a competent, intelligent, nice individual, which can actually happen at the IRS, but it doesn't happen very often. What's more likely to happen is one of the two other options, incompetent or mean or both. In which case you would have needed a professional in the room, someone to extract the tiger's teeth, or to tell you when you're getting bit in case you didn't know. There's not a chance I'm going in the room with the IRS without Norm Rollins, my tax attorney, with me. It's not happening. Nope, I don't go meet with the KGB by myself. I mean the IRS by myself. It's not happening. No, I always take a pro.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
It's 33 past the hour. I'm Al Franken.
And I'm Kevin Lamper.
Great American shout out is I want everyone in New York to hang their head out of a window and go, I just need some work. I'm still working on it.
I've got the walk. You can't see the walk, but I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley. 33
Good
past
morning.
The hour. That was a kind hearted jest.
Love you, Al.
Well, easy. But I mean, let's not go overboard.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, here's the Ramon is apparently he's doing it from New York. Ramon is actually in New York already helping set up the convention. He's undercover,
Uh-oh.
But he's got us the presidential schedule. Here's the palm pile for today. Here's the schedule for the president this morning. 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I love New York. I tolerate New York. I have to go to New York. God, I hate New York. 10 o'clock a.m., work on acceptance speech. Somehow take credit for 9/11 without taking blame for 9/11. 1 p.m., leave for Miami. Note, a city full of old people, Jews, Latinos, and gays. Good practice for New York. 4:25 p.m., receive briefing on Hurricane Charley.
City of Miami Firehouse. Schedule 15 minutes to slide down pole like a real fireman. You know what? Make that 30. 30 minutes. 5 p.m. Speak at rally, Miami Arena, Miami. Notes for speech. Quote, I love old people, Jews, Latinos, and gays. In that order. End quote. 9 p.m. Send to Alice Cooper thank you telegram for his support. Refer to defense budget as our multi-billion dollar baby. Good song. 10 p.m. Send Jenna and Barbara to Crawford until night of acceptance speech. Note, keep them out of New York. The way they party, it's only a matter of time before they end up on Howard Stern topless. 11 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, last minute security concerns mean convention will be moved to Dallas. End quote. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Forget about it. Forget about it.
Hey,
look. Did you win the Fordham Baldies or something?
Here we go. This is a big story. This is real stuff. This is real issues. Why don't they talk about the issues? I'm fighting for my life. We're going to talk about it. Bush has lost 1.1 million net jobs since taking office. That puts him on track to be the first president since Hoover to have a net loss of jobs during his presidency. To have that much. Yes. In the current quote-unquote recovery, corporate profits have risen 62.2%. Mm. CEO salaries have risen 22%. And meanwhile, middle-class wages have not even kept pace with inflation. During the first half of this year, U.S. wages and salaries grew at the slowest rate ever recorded. New jobs being created are paying an average of $8,000 a year less than the jobs that were lost. And now we have more people living in poverty than ever, Mark, or no? Or the highest rate in years?
It's the highest rate in years. And, Mark, all of that stuff that you just read?
Yes, sir.
Happened before they gerrymandered the overtime.
Oh, so last week.
So some people are going to end up with a lot less money in their paycheck.
Now, let's just explain this, because I talked to a guy yesterday, and this is it's a dude I know, a black dude I know, from he works at a restaurant that I frequent. He's a friend of mine from outside of the restaurant. And I just said to him, I said, look, you know, you're voting for Kerry, right? He's like, I don't know. I don't really know much about him.
That's my cousin.
Yeah. And I'm like, how can you not, you know, not know much about him? You know, I'm just like, the truth of the matter is that we talk about people being informed all the time, and we try to inform people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't understand why, you know, that somebody who clearly, you know, maybe I'm being judgmental, you would think would immediately say, you know, Kerry, of course, you know what I mean? Because I know the dude's working in a restaurant. You know, I know the dude is, you know, of ilk with my mindset. You know, and I know that, like, I just don't, I know he hates Bush, but how can he not have the information?
Let me run this by you real quick. He is vacillating between Kerry and not voting at all.
Exactly.
Not between Kerry and Bush.
Right.
And what that indicates is that John Kerry's still got some work to do.
But it's hard to get, you know, he's, we need
to debate. It's hard to get, let me tell you why it's hard to get.
I guess we're drifting from the topic, but I guess I was trying to get.
It all comes back.
Okay.
Because in certain situations, people have constructed this reality for themselves that simply does not involve politics in any way, shape, or form whatsoever. And it's tough, man. It was very difficult for me to understand how this works with people. People are concerned with feeding their kids. People are concerned with getting off to work. People are concerned with being safe. People are concerned with some very bare bones, gut kinds of issues. And if they don't consume the media pathways to get the information on how the candidates feel about these things, they just block it out.
And then if you're one of the 1.3 million people last year who were added to the ranks of poverty.
Okay. Added to the ranks. That's not 1.3 million people in poverty. That's an additional 1.3 million people added to the already 30-some-odd million people.
Maybe how can it be your priority to be informed about why and what issues are being talked about by presidential candidates? You'd think automatically that you would be anti this president if your life is that strapped. But you know what? A lot of these people don't even get out to vote.
They don't see a way out of their situation. They don't think John Kerry or George W. Bush or Ralph Nader, for that matter, mm-hmm. have anything that will lead them out of their situation. There are very few people who live in America, Mark Maron, who don't want to lead a better life, who don't want to find pathways to make more money, to educate their kids, maybe take them for a night out every now and then, take them to a movie or whatever. And people are finding that this is more and more an impossible dream. 35.8 million people living below the poverty line. That's more people than live in the entire state of California.
Now, that poverty line is what, as far as how much one makes a year? That is...
It depends on the size of the household. For a family of four, it's $18,810. For two people, it's $12,015. And I don't know a soul in this city who could live with a family of four on $18,000 or a family of two for $12,000.
What's even more interesting is what the median household income is, and we'll talk about this issue some more when we come back here on Air America Radio. You want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Canada, Czech Republic, Finland, Germany, Slovakia, Sweden, Russia, and the USA. The greatest hockey nations in the world are facing off for the 2004 World Cup of Hockey. Be a part of the passion and rivalry for bragging rights to number one and world hockey champion. Tune in August 31st at 7 p.m. Eastern when Team USA takes on Team Canada on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, professor of international security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker. My friend was hit by a stroke. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone called 911. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, call 911. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
We're back. 43 past the hour. It's Morning's Edition with Mark Maron, who is me, and that is Mark Riley over there.
Was that Hendrix?
Yeah.
You know, I always wanted to be Jimi Hendrix when I was a young man.
Yeah, man. I always wanted to be Jimi Hendrix, too. Every once in a while, you know, could I play guitar like a sad man holding onto a dream in my, in my room, in my apartment, thinking I'm a genius. And every once in a while, I'll hit, like, you know, maybe two notes where I'm like, wow, that almost sounded like, that was almost Hendrix-y. 35.9 million? Is that possible? 35.9 million people live in poverty in this country, Mark Riley?
That's absolutely correct. And 45 million people have no health insurance.
This is, let's try and get all this together because, you know, there's people. Here are the median household incomes when adjusted for inflation for people. 43 $1,318. Let's see.
Per year for all households.
Right. Whites, blacks, and Asians saw no noticeable change, but income fell 2.6% for Hispanics to nearly $33,000. Asians had the highest income at over $55,000, while whites made $47,800 and blacks nearly $30,000. That's yes. per family? And this
that's
is a
per
median,
household. Yeah, that's
median
a median
income per household.
Yeah, half higher, half lower, or you know, 50% higher, 50%.
And here we go. Here's like, for instance, the threshold, the Census Bureau's definition of poverty varies by size of the household. For instance, the threshold for a family of four was $18,810, while for two people was $12,015. For two people, can you even imagine what it would take to live like that?
That is absolute. Look, people in New York City, Mark Maron, consider themselves working poor, and they make $40,000 a year.
And I'm no rich guy, you know, but I'm just like, and if you don't have health insurance, I mean, if I don't get health insurance through my union, mm-hmm. all right, if I don't get that, it's going to cost me about $700 a month. All right, and that comes out to, you know, upwards of $8,000 right there, which if I'm living by myself, that's how much I would make, you know, if I was living at poverty level. At, you know, that's how much I bring in.
Let me put this in stark relief for you. Let's put this down so that people understand exactly how this works. It's you and your wife, Mishnah.
Yeah.
You make $12,000 a year, which is about...
I do. I thought I was making so much more than that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God. I got to call Mr. Franken and apologize and ask for more money.
Money, yeah, right. All right. That's about $280 a week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to cost you and Mishnah $40 a week combined just to get back and forth to work, assuming you have a job that you can take the train back and forth.
Right, and assuming there's a train to be taken.
Take it, yeah. Well, 40% of $280, of $40 a week is what? About almost 15% of $280 goes for transportation alone before you pay your rent or before you eat a morsel of food.
Now, let's talk. This is unbelievable because this means that most people have no hope of even getting out from under their nut.
Nope.
I
nope.
mean, it's
they don't make their nut. And, well, you know what that means?
Huh.
That means every month people have to choose something not to pay. They got to alibi the light people. Or they got to alibi a car payment, or they got to come late with their rent, or any number. There's certain things you cannot alibi. You got to get on, unless you're going to fare jump, you got to get on the train to get to work, or you got to get in your car and get to work if you're not living in a place.
We're being held hostage by creditors, insurance companies, bad pay wages, by, this overtime. It's unbelievable to me that there isn't some system of health care that can provide it for all people. It's our responsibility. I know some people would look at this headline, nearly 36 million Americans live in poverty, and go, well, what am I supposed to do about it? That's not my responsibility, but really ask yourself, you know, where are you? The poverty line is set at an annual income of $9,573 or less for an individual. How close are you? Or $18,660 for a family of four with two children.
Yeah.
How close are you if you're making those kind of judgments? If you think that this system is working and that people can afford their own health care, you think that things will be taken care of if you only work hard enough, how close are you? Are you just like, you know, one insurance payment away from poverty? You know, I mean, really think about what the justification is for this type of behavior in the wealthiest country in the world, where CEOs make, you know, $50 million, where corporations are let off the hook for almost everything, where we have a vice president that, you know, when asked by a woman crying at a recent speech, you know, my husband lost his job, the plant closed down, what do we do? And all he could really come up with is that, you know, well, you know, employers are having a hard time.
Few more breaks for the bosses, that'll solve everything.
It's unbelievable to me.
Except for our bosses. I love our bosses. But,
yeah.
I mean, the bottom line here, Mark, is that we have an administration that has no clue how people who are at this level live their lives. They have no... They inhabit the same America we all do, all right?
Uh-huh.
They go to the same schools. They use the same bathrooms. Public, of course.
Uh-huh.
I mean, these are situations that are not alien to us. They are us. And the bottom line is we have a government filled with people like George W. Bush and Donald Rumsfeld and Dennis Hastert and Tom DeLay, all of these people, and they have no interest or clue whatsoever in how to deal with the kind of stress that you know, they all say they're for family values. What do you think it does to a family when people can't pay their bills?
It strains it to the point where everything breaks down. Emotional communication, the ability to care properly or give the kids what they want. Everything breaks down.
Yeah.
Let's take this call. We didn't, people were just calling and this sounds like something interesting. Joyce Riley, please, how are you in Missouri? What's going on?
Hi, Joyce.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Hey.
I just, wanted to tell you we have some kind of breaking news on some figures of Gulf War veterans that are returning from Gulf War II that are sick. We got some figures yesterday that, and by the way, I'm the spokesperson for the American Gulf War Veterans Association.
Uh-huh. Oh, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. And we got some figures that out of Gulf War I era veterans,
mm-hmm.
there are now 518,000 disabled people, disabled troops coming mm-hmm. out of that first Gulf War. And remember, there were only about 7,000 or 4,000 to 7,000 injured in the war. But we have 518,000 that are now disabled as a result of that war.
Wow. And how are they being taken care of by this administration as far as benefits and whatnot?
They're not. In fact, that's one of the things that we've been fighting is it takes 9 to 12 months to even get into a VA hospital.
Ooh.
They are all being told they have mental problems, even though they've got various stages of massive, horrendous illnesses.
And that's a travesty.
But the tragedy, and it comes from biologicals and chemicals, of course, which this administration denies were used.
Mm.
Now, in the second Gulf War, we just got figures from Dr. Loren Murray out of California that there are now 2 out of 10 in some of the units that are now coming down with malignancies. We believe this to be a direct result of depleted uranium poisoning, which has gone on over there for the last 18 to 24
months. That's horrible. That, Joyce, we got to go. That's horrible news. And this administration, of course, being negligent and not addressing this or even being honest about, what weapons are being used or what the impact of some of these weapons are using are. We'll be back in a second with the liberal agenda here on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
The one and only fabulous Beatles!
From Liverpool.
For the first time in Houston,
ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
Around the globe.
The Beatles.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles have now taken over the world. And across the universe. 40 years later, they still rock our world. Celebrating the Beatles. Classic vinyl.
My opinion about the world counts, and I have something to say.
Young people today are acutely aware of the world around them. And optimists give these youth a chance to be heard through their Optimist Essay Contest.
I want to express my feelings, and I want the world to know what I think.
Our local optimists are giving young people that opportunity through the Optimist Essay Contest. Optimists, bringing out the best in kids.
This therapy session is almost over, Bob. Now, the problem?
I was in a car accident. I want my car fixed right, but where? Please, help me!
You're scaring me, Bob.
Wait, I've got it. iCar Gold Class Professionals Businesses!
Great. They know how to fix your vehicle right. They have up-to-date training and keep up with the latest repair methods and technology. Visit the Gold Class Business Directory at www.i-car.com.
iCar, a not-for-profit organization, and the Gold Class Professionals Program are dedicated to training the collision industry to ensure complete and safe repairs.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Let's try and end this hour with a little levity. It's 54 past the hour. It is now 3:54 in Las Vegas, Nevada, from where we're broadcasting from here in New York City. Our board operator, who is on vacation this week, is in Las Vegas. And before he left, we talked to him. We had a big system. There was an envelope system where he was going to put a lot, certain amount of money in each envelope so he doesn't spend all his money too quickly. And I'm just wondering, Chris, how'd that system work out?
By Tuesday, that was done.
What's up, K-Lo?
What's going on, guys? I miss you. Dude, by Tuesday night, I was hitting the ATM.
Oh, man!
Go, K-Lo!
Did I tell you that was going to happen?
Unfortunately, man. Oh, my God. I dropped $1,000 like that. Like, it was...
Okay, Michael Jordan.
Are you going to be able to get home? Did you...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll definitely be able to get home. You know, I have all that arranged and everything. I've actually been meeting some locals. They actually offered to drive me to the airport.
Well, thank God. Did your girlfriend leave already?
No, she's good. She's in bed and everything.
She's in bed.
She's in bed and you're on the strip. Is that it?
She's not with me for the money, gentlemen.
Oh, okay.
did she get mad at you, though?
No, she's very understandable. Actually, at one point, she was sitting in with me at the roulette table, and she turns to me and she goes, "That's all you have left?" just give the money away at that point.
That usually follows the you know, what's going to come is, no, just stop. Let me have your ATM card.
Yeah, right.
Let me have it.
And they told us, how much money do you have in your account? And like, just ballpark it for me.
So how are the locals, K-Lo?
They're great, man. Like, we were over the house, and, like, we were just chilling, you know, mixing some drinks. They're fantastic.
Where are you now?
I'm actually in my hotel room at the New York, New York hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Room. Uh-oh.
What's up?
How's that, though? How's the New York, New York? Does it make you feel like you're home?
You know what? It makes me, like, cry. Like, these people are so sad. They think this is New York City? There's a Brooklyn Bridge with advertisements on it. You know what I'm looking at? Out my window, the Statue of Liberty. Okay.
Which is, like, right next to the Brooklyn Bridge there, right?
Yeah. Like, actually, you know what? It's actually surrounded by a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. I've been out. Hey, K-Lo, you got any good bagels and jelly out there?
Oh, my God, nothing. Nothing.
There's the agenda, man. Be careful. We'll talk to you again.
Talk to you soon, K-Lo.
We miss you, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Bye. Okay, bye. That was Chris.
Flying low and feeling no pain.
Here it is. Here's the liberal agenda for today. One, checklist for next week. Sweeping bag for Central Park protest. Screw the rules. We're still going. Tear gas goggles. Video camera to tape your own beating. Two, have Donald Trump videotape message for Times Square Jumbotron. Quote, George W., you're fired! End quote. Forget about it! What? Forget about it! Three, in the spirit of racial unity, arrange white chicks double date between Wayans brothers and Bush twins. Four, designate all New York City public toilets as Republican-free zones. Five, phrase of the day, quote, how can a tree be off limits? Trees don't vote, man! End quote.
End quote. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, the Morning's Edition Business Report, my own dog of the week, Rick Perlstein from the Village Voice, and comedian Louis Black, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Yes.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called the Community Coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved and helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Big ears, flat feet, bushy hair. Of all the things to pass down to your child, difficulty reading shouldn't be one of them. That's why at Family Learning Programs, parents and kids learn together so they succeed together. The classes are amazing and free. Family Learning Programs. The best way out is by coming in. Call 1-877-FAMLET-1 and pass down the greatest thing of all, a chance.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph to delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Campaign 2004 boiling along on the eve of the Republican National Convention. John Kerry says he's tired of that flip-flop label. Campaigning in Anoka, Minnesota yesterday, Kerry pointed out that if President Bush was opposed to the creation of a 9/11 commission and then endorsed it, wouldn't that be a flip-flop?
Is opposing the Homeland Security Department and then suddenly embracing it when the newspapers write something, is that flip-flopping and doing something? Is opposing 9/11 and then suddenly turning around and supporting it, is that a flip-flop? I mean, you know, is telling you you're going to fund No Child Left Behind and then stripping it for $27 billion, is that a flip-flop? I mean, you tell me, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get real here.
President Bush, speaking in Albuquerque, New Mexico yesterday, said Kerry can't pay for all his campaign promises by simply eliminating tax breaks for the wealthy.
My opponent has already promised over $2 trillion of new spending. And we still got the stretch run. We still got September and October to go. And so they said, how are you going to pay for it? And he used that old, tired class warfare line, we're just going to tax the rich.
In Iraq today, there is new fighting in central Baghdad. In Najaf, Muqtada al-Sadr has ordered his fighters to lay down their arms and leave Najaf and nearby Kufa. This after al-Sadr and the Iraqi government agreed to a peace deal brokered by Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani. Al-Sadr issued the order from his office in Najaf. It was also broadcast through loudspeakers at the Imam Ali Shrine, where militants had been holed up during weeks of fighting against American and Iraqi forces. The Arabic TV network Al Jazeera says it has received a video that appears to show the killing of kidnapped Italian journalist Enzo Baldoni. Italy's premier is calling it an act that takes the world back to the dark ages of barbarity. Premier Silvio Berlusconi says his country won't be intimidated and Italian forces will remain in Iraq. With the start of the Republican National Convention 4 days away, New York City saw three protests yesterday. About 1,000 people marched through Manhattan at the conclusion of a protest walk from Boston to New York. It started after the Democratic Convention that was called from DNC to RNC. A group of AIDS activists stripped naked outside Madison Square Garden and were arrested. And some folks climbed all over the side of a hotel and raised a banner showing Truth going one way and Bush the other. And the lawyer from Oregon, falsely accused by the FBI of involvement in the Madrid train bombings, has hired Jerry Spence, the celebrity lawyer, to represent him in a lawsuit against the government. When Brandon Mayfield was arrested because of a bogus fingerprint match, the FBI seized his computers and papers, including some Spanish documents that turned out to be his son's Spanish homework. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
On the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius, bingo.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Cartoonic Minute. Old Glory makes my heart beat fast, but a glossy red, white, or blue custom cruiser really makes it race. When I come back, I'll paint the picture of what puts that gleam in my eye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No.
The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. July 4th may be a celebration of independence, but when it comes to a paint job that really sizzles, I declare that powder coat is king. In this process, a finely ground powder of pigment and resin is sprayed on an electrically charged surface, then sent through a curing oven for fusing, which produces a hard, smooth finish. The result is an all-American combo of shiny style and durable substance. But best of all, the process is green, as coating and cleanup create virtually no airborne emissions. So whether the glaze is red or white, it's always environmentally true blue. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Republicans, welcome to New York. Now get out! Get out! I want to be able to use the subways. I want to be able to move through my city with some convenience, and I want to be able to be proud of New York. So get out!
That's right.
Yeah, listen to me.
Nah.
That's my protest. That's my protest for today, Mark Riley.
Thousands of people are repeating your very words as we speak.
Yeah, thousands of people that may even be Republicans.
Well,
like,
actually,
what do we need this crap for?
No, no. These are the thousands of people who are heading to the airport, to the train stations, to the bus, to get out of here, and they won't be back until next Friday.
Big week in the Hamptons.
That's right.
Big week.
Big long week in the Hamptons.
Oh my God! I don't even know what am we? We're going to lunch today. That's going to be good. We're doing
a soul food extravaganza.
What's the name of the joint?
It's called Charles's Soul Food, but it's euphemistically known as Mr. Charlie's.
Mr. Charlie's. Me and Riley and Dan Passman, son of Lewis and Linda Passman in New Jersey, are going up to Mr. Charlie's. Man, when you said fried chicken, Passman was like, fried chicken.
I'm there.
How good is it? And he said, it's the best. And then he said, all you can eat. All you can eat? Man, that's better than Springsteen.
Impossible. Nothing's better than Springsteen.
Marty Pants Larson's looking for a shout-out from the booth. How are you, buddy?
Yes, nice there you go. There you go.
It's Kent Jones, one of the writers here. And then there's P.W. McDonald at the phone. Recently engaged, August 18th, our producer Brendan McDonald got engaged, and it's holding, apparently. It's still holding. It's
7 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, it's the 27th, so we're going on 10 days. Engagement's still intact.
All right.
I remember when I got engaged the first time. He did it right, man. He was in Nantucket. He prepared. He had a beautiful event. You know, everything. Me, I'm at the airport. The first time I got engaged, I was like, I just whipped out this ring when I was dropping her off to a...
Here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's a magic moment, I can tell you.
That's the sad thing about that. We'd been together a long time, and it was at that, you know that point where... You know when you pull the ring out and you say, so you want to break up or, you know?
or pursue the inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the wrong way to go. But I heard that my ex got married a couple weekends ago, and I want to congratulate them, and I hope that she's happy.
There you go.
And I'm saying that from my heart. My current
is my current wife is in Los Angeles, and she's doing good, too. I'm trying to get her to come out for my birthday so we can have that mutual birthday party.
Yeah, man, because, you know, Maren and I are only 5 days apart birthday-wise.
Yeah, so then
several years apart, but five days.
Yeah, yeah. Yours is on the 22nd. Mine's the 27th.
Yeah.
You are a Virgo. I am a Libra.
Libra.
What does that mean exactly? I don't know, but there's plenty of people that will tell you what it means. You ever had someone do your chart before, Mark?
Yeah, I threw it out.
You did?
I didn't even bother to read it.
They look awfully official if you get it done thoroughly. There's all sorts of charts and graphs and
moons. Yeah, they want
moons,
three figures to
planets.
Get it done thoroughly, though.
Yeah, someone did it for me, you know, just pro bono once. And
pro bono?
Yeah, it was a fan, and, you know,
she
had a problem, you know, and a Marc Maron obsession that I think she wanted to work out.
Oh, okay.
So she did it through the stars, and I was given this really big chart, which is not unlike, you know, any other way they sell things. Like, it's sort of like antidepressant or medication. They're psychological meds. You know, if you look at the symptoms, you're going to have a couple of them because there's like 50 of them. And the same with the horoscope.
You're giving away the secret.
I know. It's the same with the
horoscope. You're giving away the secret of, you know, psychic thought.
You ever read those things, though, the symptoms of psychological ailments? It's sort of like you're going through it. It's like, you know, are you uncomfortable with sushi? I am. Really. Do you sing in your car? Oh, my God, I do. I must, you know, I need medicine. You know, but the thing about that horoscope thing is it's like anything else. It's like religion or anything in that if you choose to believe, if you want to believe it because it makes you feel good and it gives you hope, then you're going to believe it. I mean, look at all these people that support George Bush with no grounds for anything.
Oh, look at all the people who call Miss Cleo.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Which is a business.
Yeah, but I heard that she was a scam, Mark Riley.
Well, the word was she was an actress from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Not to say that all L.A. actors are scammers,
mm-hmm.
but she was apparently an actress and, you know, affected the Caribbean accent. She really wasn't from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she made some good money, though.
Yeah. I want to do this before we get into George Bush a little bit.
That prevaricator?
Yeah, this wasn't, sure. I wish I knew what it meant. What is a prevaricator exactly? Do I have to look it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me too.
No, we of course know. Anyways, the medals, the ongoing thing, we're not going to do get obsessed with this Whitfield thing anymore because I am so pissed at CNN, at the media. I'm starting to think that I don't like to use broad terms like the media.
Go ahead, use broad terms.
We are
the media.
We are the media. But the thing is that, like, I am really aggravated with the way that CNN and some of these cable news networks, I haven't been watching network news lately. I go in, I just turn on CNN when I'm wandering around my house wondering, you know, why I'm tired. So, you know, I watch CNN and the tone and the amount of times I just started to realize is that they need to make this a wedge issue. They need to. That's their job. They need to find points of contention that they can exploit, even if they're meaningless, in order to make interesting programming. And
yep.
That makes them evil because there is no barometer, there's no core, there's no conscience, there's nothing anchoring them anymore because reporting is no longer important to them. And I was really mad at that guy who's on Lou Dobbs. What's his name, Larson?
Lou Dobbs.
Brooks Jackson.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
he just
yeah.
gets on, and the way that they talk about, you know, that the Swift boat really had an impact on the poll numbers. No, it didn't. It didn't. Most people asked, you know, thought that the Swift boat thing was ridiculous. It was wrong. It was the wrong angle to take to the point now where George Bush is actually starting to say that he believes Kerry. He's not willing. We'll get into that in a minute. But the thing is that the ads weren't effective. What was effective was the media's reporting, if you want to call it that, on the effect of the ads. So essentially, this was an ad made for free markets that got picked up as a news story and apparently was mentioned on the news since August 5th upwards of 20-some-odd thousand times in one form or another. So they completely created this. And I'm starting to think that the media, as the collective evil id of the planetary community, is corrupt, it's wrong, and it only serves itself.
It follows the money. The reason why they do this is because...
Which is about keeping people watching.
Of course.
Right.
And as you very correctly point out, they have all these hours of programming to fill. All these hours of programming to fill. That's why you see the Lacey Peterson trial on all of these networks and not just on Court TV, where it belongs.
Is that why I saw, you know, a Joe Rogan with some people from Fear Factor and a cake that had worms in it on Larry King?
Yep.
But it really annoys me, too.
But you know why this happened? Let me explain to you why it happened. We got a couple of minutes. I'll explain this because it's a real quick explanation.
Yeah.
There came a point in the transition from the 70s into the 1980s when news stopped being a public service function and started to be perceived as a profit center.
And an entertainment option in the late
80s. Profit center came first.
Right.
Because once they started realizing that you could make money from doing news and that news did not have to be done as an obligation of your license, which seemed to me to make pretty good sense, but once they realized that you could actually make dollars, and 60 Minutes played a very crucial role in this, because 60 Minutes was a news magazine that became very, very profitable for CBS.
Primarily because they took their time and did good reporting.
Yeah. But they also established the concept that news did not have to be this sinkhole where you put all of this money and you don't get anything back.
Right, something you had to do.
So then it started getting subject to the same kind of standards and criteria, which implies none, that any other programming got applied to. That's where the entertainment part came in the late 1980s, when people started saying, well, wait a minute, if we can make all this money, then we have to start treating news like any other entertainment product, which means we have to do stories that are going to keep people glued to the sets, no matter how tawdry, no matter how stupid, no matter how non-news.
Yeah, exactly. And what's happened now is that you can't find the news. And I talked to a guy that I talked about last hour who says, I don't know what Kerry stands for because you got to do research. This is something that should be on the TV every day in a very mainstream way. What are the candidates saying? Who are these guys? The fact that people think that Kerry has nothing to say and that Bush says something is completely ridiculous because Bush says nothing. He's got nothing to say. He's got nothing to stand on. And Kerry is out there trying to, you know, establish certain, you know, responses to issues, responses to the economy, responses to health care, responses to our international presence in the world, responses to education. It's out there, but I got to talk to a guy that is leaning towards, you know, hopelessness because he doesn't know what Kerry stands for because he got to do so much work just to find it.
But understand, Mark, that the Swift boat thing in particular was a situation where people, the media, was able to, and see, the thing is, media, one of media's great faults is not really very self-critical. But the bottom line is, the reason why this worked is because it tapped into the huge guilt among baby boomers about the Vietnam War. The people who are running these media outlets are who? Baby boomers!
Well, finally, you know, I mean, outside of this, there's more confirmation that the Swift folk guys are lying. That's what I was getting at.
True.
I've got proof of, I've got a piece here that I really like. We'll get to it later because I really want to talk about Bush, actually. We finally, you know, sat down and talked to the New York Times, and what he revealed was, you know, was pretty compelling stuff. We'll talk to you in a minute about it on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now.
Yeah, the revolution starts.
New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at all Borders books and music stores.
The Revolution Starts Now.
Serious.
On the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters. And land and birds and sea creatures. And then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius. Bingo.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Tell me how your use of the resume and the things that you highlighted in it changed over the years.
Well, I guess the first thing to note is that every resume should be filled with accomplishments. And somewhere around 90% of the typical resumes that are sent into organizations these days list responsibilities. I was responsible for. And employers don't want to know that. And if you realize that an employer will take a look at a stack of resumes, which is your first contact with them, he will give or she will give the first viewing of the resume a maximum of 45 seconds. So if I've got 100 resumes in front of me, I'll go through them, I'll give each one 45 seconds, and they will look for accomplishment words. And then they'll work for accomplishments that are relevant to the job we're talking about. So in 45 seconds, you have to have that impact on them.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
The International Reading Association is a professional membership organization dedicated to promoting high levels of literacy for all. Their objective is to improve and encourage a lifetime reading habit. With members and affiliates in 99 countries, their network extends to more than 300,000 people worldwide. For more information about the International Reading Association, please go to www.reading.org.
That's the hour. That's right. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. Tim, who's taking Chris Lopresto's place. Hey, Tim, you all right? Okay, buddy. I didn't want you to feel... I know we talked to our board up in Vegas. I don't want you to feel left out. You okay? You're doing a good job.
You're all right, man. You're doing a great job. But after today, you're finished.
Yeah, yeah. No, and kidding. You know, maybe just just so we can get ready for Chris to come back, could you put some porn up on the monitor? And...
yeah.
It's always nice. That we're sitting here talking about the issues, and we just look over to the monitor and go, hey, there's a naked person on there. All right, here we go. This is from last night. I went to the therapist yesterday, thank God. And boy, did I blow a fuse.
Whoa. Was 3 weeks worth of memory?
I took care of myself, man. I was like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing, man. Yeah, I was like losing. I love that. And I gave him all my dreams, and here's the one from last night. This is Fresh Palette Dream. You ready? Here we go. I'm with my dead cat, Butch, and we're getting ready for the protest in New York. She's got on her little Che t-shirt, and I've never seen her so worked up, pacing and smoking and cursing. Bush says, Viva la revolucion! We must take the fight to the streets, Mark! As Seneca says, life without the courage for death is slavery. I say, yeah, thanks, fancy pants, but what is all this stuff you're taking? Only what is necessary. She's got pepper spray, an air horn, brass knuckles, mace, a box cutter, body armor, a hunting knife, and Coke bottles filled with some brown liquid that I'm sure will explode. I say, God, Butch, what do you think is going to happen? She says, I have 9 lives, yes? Then why should you worry? I feel like I'm not getting the voice quite right. I looked down because in my head the voice was like, I looked down and Butch is filling a gym bag with mescaline, magic mushrooms, uppers, downers, crystal meth, pot, ecstasy, and a fifth of Jose Cuervo. I say, hey, is that part of your protest? Why do you hate your brain so much, Butchie? Butch blows smoke in my face and says, one must liberate the mind and the soul will follow, Mark. You are so repressed, so bourgeois, such a good little consumer. I get pissed. I go, hey, just because I care about you doesn't mean I'm a good little consumer. And I'm not repressed. Butch gives me that superior look, pitying. Really? You know what I'm going to do next week? I'm going to make violent love to a different New York alley cat every night. It will be filthy and loud and wonderful. Then me and my lover will go to the Carnegie Deli and root through the trash. I say, yeah, okay, maybe I'm a little repressed. But what do you hope to accomplish with all your drugs and sex and weapons? You think that's going to kick Butch out of office? Butch starts sharpening her claws on my table and says, no, Mark, but as Emerson said, sometimes a scream is better than a thesis. Then Butch swipes at me with her paw, leaving a six-inch bloody gash in my shin. She lit a cigarette, blew out a stream of smoke, and said, now I'm ready to go. And while I screamed, which was better than a thesis, Butch left to catch a flight to LaGuardia. There you go. I woke up and my bed was filled with dread again.
Ooh.
I think we leveled off there. So now you people have been waiting, some of you. Here we go. George Bush, our president, or whatever you call him, actually spoke to the New York Times last night and said some pretty revealing stuff. He again...
That's revealing, not profound.
No, what are we talking about? The only time he's profound is when he makes a mistake. But he actually said about John Kerry, about the Swift boat ads, he said that he says that he believes John Kerry did not lie.
Yes, he said, quote, I understand how Senator Kerry feels. This is, of course, about the Swift vote ads. I've been attacked by 527s, too. Now, 527s, folks, for those of you who are just joining us, are the unregulated soft money contributors, and they represent largely interest and advocacy groups like Swift Vote.
Yeah.
And on the Democratic side, like MoveOn.org.
But he also, more importantly, I mean, that's the politicizing of this thing, but he did say, I think that, this is a quote, I think Senator Kerry should be proud of his record, end quote. And he said, quote, no, I don't think he lied. End quote. So he did say that, but then he then in a trick, because he's a dirty, you know, scheming bastard. In a trick, what he did was say, you know, I will not, you know, talk. I will not talk against the Swift Boat veterans. I will say that Kerry should be proud of his service record, and I think he should be. And I don't think he lied, but I will not denounce the ad because I think we should both not have these ads. These 527s you were talking
That's
about.
That's what he says, but what he really is meaning is, look, they're funded by my boy. I'm not giving them up. All right.
Yeah.
Bob Perry took care of these people. Bob Perry is a friend
about
of mine.
The ad, yeah.
Yeah. Bob Perry is the home builder in Texas that donated a good deal of the money that paid for these Swift Boat ads. And the bottom line is, this is one of Bush's guys. They're tight.
So not only, see, this is weird. This isn't a flip-flop. What this is a vacuum. What this is George Bush saying two, you know, almost contradictory things that almost they almost erase each other in an effort to be political. I guess that's his job. But, you know, he's saying that Kerry didn't lie. You know, he should be proud of his service, but I'm not going to denounce those ads, because what's more important to me are the people that put money into my campaign. What's more important than me, to me, than actually, you know, coming out and saying something clear, uh-huh, is that these guys who, like you said, who support me, that's what's important. It's
and
the money that's important.
Well, you know what else is important?
Mm-hmm.
Portraying himself as a victim. This is very clever what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's saying, look, I'm in the same boat as John Kerry. Look at what they're doing to me.
But that's crap because, I mean.
I know it's crap, but he sells it.
I know.
He's able, inexplicably, he is able to sell this snake oil to some, not all, to some of the American people. That's why he's sitting down with the, quote, liberal, unquote, New York Times.
Yeah. And that's true. This is all a big scheme.
Of course. Silver.
But they should have 527s. They shouldn't make those illegal. It's a way for people to actually activate. You know, I mean, I guess they're intimidated by the fact that so many Democrats are sending $10, $15, $20, $100. Regular people are motivating on a grassroots level through the internet, through MoveOn.org, to, you know, to get these ads out there, to get the message out there, to help support the fight.
And see, this, Mark, gets to those pathways that you were talking about with the guy you spoke to earlier. When you have these kinds of ads that are out in different forms of media, see, MTV is only going to have but so much programming devoted to politics. But if MoveOn.org or Rock the Vote or some of these people buy commercials on MTV and they run during The Real World and some of the other programming that's popular there, then maybe some of the people that don't have a fully formed idea about a John Kerry, or maybe don't even have a fully formed idea about George Bush, they will see something political,
mm-hmm,
through these paths. That's the value and, you know, in some ways, the curse of the 527.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I don't think they should be eliminated just because we don't like one of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I think that the way he's playing this is like he's basically saying, see, it worked, didn't it, John? How's it feel? We took a good shot at you. You want to play games? Why don't we scrap these things?
Yeah. But see, this is this is an old schoolyard trick, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's a very old trick. I don't think, A, Kerry's going to go for it. B, I don't think the American people are going to go for it. And, you know, Bush, in talking to the New York Times, he also seemed to have no clue whatsoever about his own administration's change of position on global warming.
Yeah.
You know, on the causes of global warming.
He said, aren't we for that?
Yeah. So, no, I think we did. I don't think we changed.
We're making that worse, right?
Yeah. Fun.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that he said in here, and I think obviously we're going to hit this more later in the hour, because he did say some stuff that he's never said before about, you know, his mistake in Iraq, almost.
A mistake about anything.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he was trying to kiss up to something. Certainly, the liberals, because that's not going
to
work.
No, he's just trying to be likable. He's in a one-on-one situation.
That's all he cares about.
Likable.
Like me.
like me, but make sure I have the power.
And we've got a guest, Rick Perlstein's coming up, and he's going to tell us how the sort of barometer of protest is the 68 Democratic Convention. He says that that led to the election of Nixon, and how can we not let that happen again? We're going to talk to him.
Absolutely. When we come back, Iraq, birth of a nation, you on the telephones, my own dog of the week, and as mentioned, Rick Perlstein here on Air America Radio.
Are you a homeowner in need of a refi to pay off debt, strapped for cash, and need to lower your monthly payments? Save now before rates go back up. Even with less than perfect credit, you can still grab a great rate, even below 6%. That's right. If you own your own home, we can lower your monthly payments. Get cash in your hand, even if you have mortgage late or a past bankruptcy.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you have less than perfect credit, we can still help you take advantage of rates less than 6%. So don't be misled by empty promises made by other lenders who keep asking for more time and paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
No need for mountains of documentation or tons of paperwork. We don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed. Just call 888-32-APPLY today. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. We specialize in refis for homeowners just like you. Call 888-32-APPLY right now and lower your monthly payment. Pay off debt, even get cash. Call 888-32-APPLY today. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by the Cal DRE, number 01411312. 888-32-APPLY.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. The Arab TV network Al Jazeera says an Italian journalist, Enzo Baldoni, has been executed by his kidnappers in Iraq. A peace deal in Najaf appears to be sticking as Muqtada al-Sadr has ordered his militia to disarm. Meanwhile, a gun battle between American forces and militants has erupted in central Baghdad. Russia's Federal Security Service says traces of explosives have been found in the wreckage of one of two airliners that crashed nearly simultaneously a couple of days ago. And keep your eyes on Washington today. The Bush administration could issue executive orders today implementing key recommendations from the 9/11 Commission. The draft executive orders being circulated call for a more powerful intelligence director and a new National Counterterrorism Center. The White House is said to have floated three different proposals and sought immediate feedback in hopes of making an announcement just before the start of the Republican convention. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
For too long, I've been working for the man, doing what the man says, taking it like a man. The man says, I can only hear one football game on the weekend, and the man tells me what game it's going to be. Well, now it's my turn. I get to take it all back from the man. Because I got the NFL on Sirius. Every game, every week, everywhere. Sirius NFL Radio. Yeah, who's the man now?
George the Trash.
Yes, dear.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Eat here and get gas was the slogan for many greasy spoons in the past. But today, the food that feeds your tummy could also fuel your car. When I come back, we'll fill her up with a Blue Plate Special.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at great stores like Pep Boys, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Next time you grab a burger at the local Greasy Spoon, don't forget to pick up a side of canola, because aftermarket engineers have designed a diesel fueling system that runs on cooking oil. Here's how it works. The car is started with diesel fuel, which in turn heats an oil reserve. Once the oil's up to temperature, the driver flips a switch and converts her car into the kind of lean, mean grilling machine that George Foreman only dreams of. And since many restaurants must pay for oil disposal, drivers could get it to go for free. Order up. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas? You'll love us. Brought to you by Royal Purple Synthetic Oil, the performance oil that outperforms.
That's right. It's morning's edition. It's 33 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Present.
There's, everybody's here. All the fellas. We're all here.
That's right.
That was close. I almost burped on the air, which would be not very entertaining.
Actually, I did that while we were in the news just before we went on the air. I had a real long one because I drank soda before.
Wow, I didn't know we were going to have a conversation about this. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 59. Leaders of Iraq! Okay. Gentlemen, my compliments. You actually had a peaceful protest march. Nice going. No one got gassed or trampled or beaten. Right. Or shot. You're right. This is some very grown-up behavior, my friends. And I hate to admit it, but a lot more mature than we are. Now, we're about to have the Republican convention in New York. Yep. New York, yeah. And we're expecting thousands and thousands of angry people to be marching in the streets. Will they be peaceful marches like yours? Exactly. Nothing brings out the violence in Americans like people protesting for peace. All the angry kooks and all the angry cops have had this date marked on their calendar for 2 years now. There's going to be peace, but it's not going to be pretty. In many ways, our divisions are worse than yours. At least guys can all agree to hate us. At least you guys can all agree to hate us. Maybe you should send over some people to show us how to have a peaceful march. Of course, there could... Come on, man. Of course, there's a good possibility that once you get there, you'll be jailed and beaten. We're not so good at peace, but you probably knew that by now. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 59 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. I actually started listening to myself while I was reading that, and I didn't think that I wasn't enjoying what I was listening to, and that's when I actually said, come on, man, because I wanted to get myself out of my head back into the page, because some guy wrote an email which bothered me. Yeah, I don't even need to bring it up.
Nah. You're all right, man. Not to worry. Everything is okay.
No, what happens is sometimes when I read too fast or when I get involved with something, I'll gasp for air because I'm not pacing myself properly. But some guy got hung up on my breathing.
Really?
And yeah, which, you know, is his problem. All right, but see, because I was in the middle of reading that and I heard myself go, then part of my brain that was like, okay, I'm just going to listen to me for a minute and see if I'm breathing. And then, like, you know, when I did it again, oh my God, listen to me. I'm sorry to put you through this out there.
Don't worry, in 4 hours.
I'm sorry to have put you through that, you know. Look, what I want to do now is we're going to talk to Rick Perlstein.
Yes.
About the protest in 68 and the implications that it may have on today's protest. But if you're a protester, I know sometimes, you know, you might be, you know, sleeping in or barely listening. 866-303-2270 is the number. We want to hear where you're at on how you feel about violence, no violence, taking action, not taking action. And we'll talk to you when we're done with Rick in the segment after that. But I just wanted to give you the shout out because I know sometimes, you know, it's hard when you're at a protest to, you know, get up and get your coffee going, have a cigarette or what have you, get your dreadlocks all greased up and, you know, whatever, just shake out the 60s out of your head. Whatever you need to do, we're going to take your calls in a minute. Right now on the phone, he's the author of Before the Storm, Barry Goldwater and the Unmasking of the American Consensus. He's writing a new book called Nixonland about how Nixon and Republicans in 68 and 72 exploited conflicts in the Democratic Party to paint them as scary to voters. He just had an article in the Village Voice about the convention. Rick Perlstein, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark.
Hi, Rick. So I read your piece yesterday, and it's a very interesting piece. It was a lot of people are sort of up in the air about. There's dissent among the anarchists within their community as to how to behave. Now, in relation to the 68 protests in Chicago, what do you think the behavior should be and why?
Oh, God, what do I think? You asked the hardest question first.
I'm sorry. I had to.
I don't really know.
Yes.
You know, this is what I would say.
Okay.
It's water under the bridge, almost.
Okay.
I wish that a long time ago, people had planned these protests with a lot more discipline and a lot more strategic thinking and with a lot more, I would say, care for the public relations of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we had 500,000 people in New York, you know, doing the silent vigil thing.
Yes.
Like people did in the fall of 1969 and actually kept Nixon from one of the nastiest bombing campaigns that he was planning. Like,
uh-huh.
Historians know that he, like, canceled this really nasty bombing campaign in Vietnam because of this silent vigil that filed by the White House.
Right.
You know, if people had really thought and were willing to kind of submit to leaders,
yeah.
You know, God forbid leaders, like Martin Luther King and, you know, a certain kind of arrived at message that was, you know, kind of unified,
right,
then, you know, they really could have got something accomplished. Mm-hmm. But so many protesters revel in this idea of improvisation and think that somehow, you know, kind of planning and discipline and lines of march and coordination is kind of the, you know, that's what the man's into.
Right, I hear you.
But Rick Perlstein, I got to ask you, now, Leslie Kagan, the woman that runs United for Peace and Justice, who's planning on doing a rally with 250,000 people, she's an old head at this. She's been doing this since the 1960s. What's changed? How come she had a hugely successful nuclear freeze protest in 82, and suddenly there's all of this confusion and problems around this upcoming convention?
That's a really great point. That's why I'm kind of hesitant to say what someone like Leslie Kagan should do. I mean, I don't have any of the answers. I'm just kind of pointing out some parallels and pointing out some dangers. But, man, what happened in the last 20 years between then and now? The Republicans got a lot meaner, a lot tougher, a lot more sophisticated, and a lot better at controlling the discourse and controlling the media.
Well,
I mean, that's undeniable. You know, we got a tougher row to hoe this time. And that was an amazing protest. And it really did. That's one of the things. That's one of the reasons why Reagan started talking about Star Wars and started talking to Gorbachev.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is, if you're, you know, every protest situation is different. You know, protest is like politics. And what was happening then was it introduced a new item onto the agenda, just like the Seattle protests. I love the Seattle protests. I think that they're everything these protests weren't. They introduced America to a new message that people were ready to hear. And, you know, by 2004, all the Democratic presidential candidates, they were talking some of this same talk, that, you know, the problems with NAFTA.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you a question, Rick. Now, let's just flesh this out a little bit. What happened in 1968, and how was the protest misunderstood and spun by the Republicans in order to sort of, you know, ground your argument?
Well, there you go. Now I'm on more comfortable ground.
Well, you know what? Why don't you hold that thought, and should we come back and cover it with the...
Yeah,
stay on the phone. Let's answer that when we come back. 866-303-2270 is the number if you want to pipe in on this, whether you're a protester or not, either way. And we'll talk about 1968 when we come back with Rick Perlstein after this on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Sirius Sports has done it again, and this is just the beginning. This Saturday, the defending co-national champion University of Southern California Trojans travel east to defend their title against the Virginia Tech Hokies. Sirius Sports coverage begins at 6:15 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Sports Action 123. Following a special college football news desk with Mike Yamp and Larry Samuels. Sirius Sports, the leader in sports play-by-play.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Philip J. Crowley is a senior fellow and director of National Defense and Homeland Security at the Center for American Progress.
Well, I don't think there is an agreed-upon game plan. The July 1st date for return of sovereignty to Iraq, I think, has more to do with our electoral calendar than their electoral calendar. There is a tremendous risk of civil war among the Shia and Sunni populations and the Kurdish populations if this goes badly. And clearly, you know, while you can, you know, Saddam was a monster, and clearly we are better off with him in jail. We'll only be more secure if we're able to put something more effective in his play, and that remains a significant challenge. I think we're on the fourth iteration of the November 15 plan.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
What's up with the sink?
Somebody left it on. It's been running all day.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in here, what, 3 times since this morning? Still going.
Okay, that is so not cool.
What's not cool?
Look at the faucet.
Oh.
How long has it been like this?
At least since this morning.
What do you guys think? Someone just washed their hands, left it on, and then, like, walked off? I guess.
That's so weird.
How do you just leave on a faucet?
It's kind of bizarre.
Should we do something?
We should tell somebody.
We can't even know.
You guys weren't using this, were you?
Not us.
Nope.
No.
No.
Don't just take a stand. Act.
The most powerful ways to register and vote. It's ridiculously simple. Log on to registerandvote2004.org and take action. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ag Council.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Hey, it's Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio, listening to Morning's Edition, 44 past the hour. Our guest is the writer Rick Perlstein. He's got a piece in this month's Village Voice.
This week's.
I know, man. You know.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. No. You were right, though. You were right, Mark Riley. You're talking about the protests and about the precedent set by 1968. Now, let's get into that, Rick, a little bit about why this whole conversation is happening. And before I do that, one second, Rick. 866-303-2270, what do you think the protesters should do? Okay, Rick, what do you got?
I had to push my cough button there.
That's okay.
At Perlstein headquarters.
Yeah.
This is the thing about 1968. Just like now, in 1968, the protesters on the day they got beat up didn't really do anything wrong.
Right.
It wasn't that they attacked the cops. You know, later on they started making up stories. You know, it's funny that one of the stories I heard was that the protesters are planning to throw bags of feces at the cops.
Yeah.
And what's so hilarious about this is they said the exact same thing in 1968.
Yeah.
It's like they're reading from the same script. So what happened was they sat down at an intersection.
Uh-huh.
You know, no huge deal. You know, they didn't throw anything at the cops. And the cops just weighed in and started wailing on them.
Uh-huh.
And here is the important thing. When people saw this on TV, they didn't say, "Oh, my God, the cops just beat up a bunch of innocent kids."
Yeah.
They said, "Yay for the cops."
Yeah, look
and
at those kids disrupting
started
them.
Started showing up saying, and they beat up reporters, too. And people weren't mad at that, either. They kind of thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
People started putting bumper stickers on their cars saying, "We support Mayor Daley and his police."
It's exactly what's going on with the Swift Boat ads, is that you have this contingent of the American public that believes the government above all else, no matter what.
People trust the cops.
Yes.
People trust the government. And that is just a reality, and that's something you have to work with. It doesn't mean you don't protest. It doesn't mean that you're timid. It just means that when you are communicating with the public, you have to think about where the public is at. You have to meet them halfway. You have to be strategic. And you can't just assume magically that they're going to have this, just going to have this epiphany that, you know, the side of right is with the protesters. They're going to say the protesters are messing things up and they're making life ugly. And they're not going to say the cops are doing it. They're going to say the protesters.
So you're saying that with organization and with a little forethought and a little sensitivity and planning that they could really tighten their message and make an impact. But
not
if they,
a little, a lot. It's hard work.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Okay, a lot.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a call. Steve in San Antonio. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Good morning.
I just wanted to call and say that I'm only 50 years old, but I remember Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a big mistake for the powers that be, the police department of New York City, to start bouncing many heads or causing any injuries, because that's what really brought mainstream America into the protest, is the fact that they killed those people at Kent State.
Right.
So I think it would be a big mistake for the Republican Party to get too tough on protesters there in New York City, because it'll bring all of mainstream America onto the Democratic side.
Yeah.
Steve, can I beg to differ?
Okay. Thanks for your call, Steve.
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks for the call.
After that happened, Richard,
I think that was a Republican, by the way. Is that possible?
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
After that Kent State thing happened, and you know, the National Guard shot four kids, and Steve's kind of remembering this as a galvanizing movement that kind of turned people against. You know, against the war somehow. Richard Nixon called the protesters bums, and his poll numbers shot up.
Huh. But what I think what he's saying is that, like, in some weird way, it was almost like if the Republicans shot a relatively peaceful protester here in New York, if the cops did,
Woodyard, Jesus Christ.
No, I hope not. But, you know, God forbid it happens. What would you think the read would be culturally?
I think it would be really complicated, but there would be a lot of people who would say, you know, it's very sad to say, and you got to look at this with very clear eyes, but this is what happened in Kent State. A lot of people said, as sick as it is, as scary as it is, they had it coming.
Yeah, that is horrifying.
You know what's the irony of that, Rick? Yeah. Nobody remembers that two students got killed at Jackson State in Mississippi around the same time.
Well, it just goes to show you that people remember what they want to remember, and public relations is a tricky game, and it's not just righteousness and justice. You know, like Martin Luther King said, the arc of the universe bends towards justice. It does, but it's a very long arc. You know what I mean?
Rick, let me ask you one other question, because there was an article in one of the tabloids here in New York yesterday. This is an amazing lead line. Anarchists hot for mayhem. And they talk about the NYPD reports that a Black Panther from Boston has been training young militants in weapons use.
Yeah, listen to that language.
A wobbly or something. You know?
Yeah, well, why didn't they just say an insurgent, for God's sakes?
I mean, the hilarious thing is a Black Panther. I mean, it's like, you know, get with the 21st century, you know?
Well, that was the Daily News, so they were trying to, you know, they're not the most unbiased publication.
Well, here's the tricky thing. Although I was at a right-wing website to claim the Daily News site, the Daily News was liberal. Even the liberal Daily News, which is completely with the anarchist program, is worried about the anarchists.
completely with the anarchist program.
Here's the tricky thing. Of course, what the Daily News says is nonsense. Of course, what Bloomberg says about, you know, don't mess up the grass in Central Park is nonsense. But the fact of the matter is, as scary as the thought is, all it takes is if there's, you know, a couple dozen really, really violent people and hundreds of thousands of peaceful, dignified people, the story is the couple dozen violent people.
Right. Well, yeah, and there's, on some level, you get the feeling that I wonder if they're baiting them to do that.
Of course they're baiting them to do that, and these people are ready to be baited.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who, I don't like the word anarchist because it's such a loaded term. I mean, you know, some anarchists, you know, write books for a living. You
some
know?
Of them are just, well, you said in your article, some of them are just kids that are selfish and want to do their thing.
Yeah.
All right, I got to go, Rick. I really appreciate you being here. Yeah,
yeah,
it's great
we
talking
appreciate
to
it, though, Rick.
Well, next time, I love you guys. Maybe I'll see you in New York.
Okay,
all right,
right on.
Fantastic.
Take it easy. We'll be back after this with the Dog of the Week on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
My name is James, and I want to tell you how a friend of mine changed my life. After my wife passed away, I found myself spending more and more time alone. I kept up with the daily business of living, but didn't get out as much. Didn't see friends as much. That's when I met a new friend, Sassy. Let me tell you about her. First of all, she can perform miracles. She's only a year old, weighs only 9 pounds, but she can jump up 5 times her own height. But the most impressive miracle is what a difference she's made in my life. She's my cat. I named her Sassy because I had a cat named Sassy when I was a little boy. I shared everything with that cat. What I've realized is that it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 80. We all need friends. I found my best friend, Sassy, at the ASPCA.
This is Richard Thompson, member of the board of directors of the ASPCA, encouraging you to visit your local animal shelter and adopt a cat.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things happen in a circle? The seasons, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. The circle starts when we recycle trash. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content, then buy the highest percentage of it. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge.
1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
That's right, morning tradition. Mark Maron, Mark Riley, 54 past the hour. 54 past the hour. There's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the morning sedition Friday business report. Opportunity abounds, investors. For the next 2 days, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will hold a government auction to rid his state of confiscated property. Like any good businessman, Arnold is trying to get out of debt. And what better way to do that than by selling off other people's belongings? After all, it worked with the Indians. Why shouldn't it work now? If I may quote the great 18th century economist Adam Smith, who wrote in his seminal work, The Wealth of Nations, quote, "As long as the government keeps arresting pot smokers and taking their property, you know there's going to be some great values on nifty items like gold neck chains, bands, and shag carpeting," unquote. So the next time you see your children lighten up a hooner, don't tell them no. Just go with the flow. Someday you might be buying their stuff back from the government real cheap. And that's what we call planning for your retirement. It's all part of this country's noble commitment to the free exchange of goods and services. To review, vote for tougher drug laws, invest in prisons, and wait for the government auctions to pop up. They're just like Walmart, only with better health care. This has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report, which leads us right to...
Woo!
That's right. It's Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Mark Maron is a New Yorker in my heart and proud supporter of the greatest city in the world. This week's dog wasn't too tough to pick. He'll be in town all next week for the Republican National Convention. House Speaker Dennis Hastert is one of the reasons so many New Yorkers hate that the convention is coming here in the first place. The Illinois Republican charges in his new book that New York lawmakers trying to get financial aid for the city after September 11th were little more than money-grubbing big city weasels. Here's more wit and wisdom from the former wrestling coach. Quoting here, "All the tragedy was converted into dollars and cents." End quote. Sorry.
Yes.
Remember, this crap comes from the chair of the convention about to be held in New York City. Even more bizarre, a few of Hastert's colleagues actually think he's been good for New York.
Mm.
The attacks on the World Trade Center took place when New York City was in the middle of a recession, Mr. Speaker. It's not bad enough this great city sends billions more to you and your friends in D.C. than it gets back. You seem to think aggressive efforts to compensate New York for the hit it took for the nation constitutes some kind of crime. For that, you're the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week. Now get lost, Rube.
Yeah, that's it,
that's
man.
That's right.
Denny Hastert did not serve. Did not serve. No military record. Paul Wolfowitz, no military record. John Ashcroft, none. Karl Rove, no military record. George Bush, AWOL. Dick Cheney, no military record. Deferred 4 or 5 times. Between the 4th and 5th one, I think he knocked his wife up and then said, "Can't do it now. Sorry, got a kid on the way."
Yep.
You don't want to do that to Lynn, do you? Bill Frist, did he serve? No, he didn't.
No.
Did not serve. How do you like that? How about that idiot with the bad wig, Trent Lott?
Oh, right.
Did he serve?
Not with that rug.
Uh-uh. Nope. Giuliani, serve? No.
No.
Tom DeLay.
He's got a comb
him?
Over, Giuliani.
Tom DeLay must have. No.
Nope.
Nope. Sam Brownback.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, he's got to have.
No, didn't. Didn't
he's serve. A hawk, isn't he?
Yeah, they're all hawky. Not one of them. Not one of them ever did any military service whatsoever. Isn't that unbelievable?
Man, that hour blew by, didn't it, Riley?
It certainly did blow by.
We got good times coming up. We got Lewis Black at the end of the next hour. He's going to give us a call. My old buddy Lewis, who I've known for a million years.
So we won't have to really, like, jump on people like we did the last hour.
No, we'll let him do it at the end.
There we go. Yeah. In the next hour of Morning's Edition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, comedian Lewis Black, the liberal agenda, author Mark Yomili, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Compromise off. Sirius on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Sirius. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. A wary peace has descended on Najaf, Iraq, where visitors were streaming into the holy shrine and militants were streaming out. The arrival yesterday of Iraq's top Shiite cleric led to a peace agreement. Muqtada al-Sadr, whose militia had been fighting the U.S. and Iraqi military for 3 weeks, told his followers to lay down their guns, according to Todd Pittman of the Associated Press.
Al-Sadr issued a statement early this morning, and it was also broadcast through loudspeakers at the Imam Ali Shrine, where al-Sadr's fighters have been holed up for weeks.
President Bush has admitted making a mistake regarding Iraq. On the eve of the Republican convention, George Bush has given some interviews to USA Today and the New York Times. He told the Times that he made a miscalculation of what the conditions would be after U.S. troops went into Iraq. And when asked about the Swift Boat veterans attacking John Kerry, Bush said, "I think Senator Kerry should be proud of his record." And Bush said, "No, I don't think he lied." But he still refused to condemn the ads by the Swift Boat Kerry opponents. Meanwhile, Bush's campaign spokespeople are attacking Vice presidential nominee John Edwards for being, as they put it, too cynical and sarcastic. Speaking yesterday in Golden, Colorado, Edwards poked some fun at Vice President Dick Cheney for disagreeing with Bush on gay rights. Edwards said someone forgot to tell the vice president what to say. And Edwards also took a shot at Bush's economic policies. He noted that Bush had told his supporters he wanted 4 more years in office to continue doing the good he was doing for America. Edwards said he didn't know if Americans can take that kind of good anymore. The Bush campaign says Edwards is turning to that kind of attack because his record is too liberal for the mainstream. John Kerry today will be making a pitch at a campaign stop in California aimed at voters' checkbooks with promises to curb credit card fees and to protect home buyers and military families from unfair lending practices. The Bush administration could issue some executive orders today implementing key recommendations from the 9/11 Commission. These draft executive orders, which were being circulated, call for a more powerful intelligence director and a new National Counterterrorism Center. And the White House is said to have floated 3 different proposals and sought immediate feedback in hopes of making an announcement before the start of the Republican convention. And in Russia, the Russian Federal Security Service says traces of explosives have been found in the wreckage of one of those 2 airliners that crashed nearly simultaneously a couple of days ago. The report in the ITAR TASS news agency came several hours after a militant Muslim website published a claim of responsibility for the crashes of the airliners, connecting the action to the insurgency in Chechnya. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
On the first day, he said, "Let there be light." And there was, and it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters, and land, and birds, and sea creatures, and then man. And it was good. Then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! Summer rock!
On Sirius, Bingo.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Nikes, sales, and Britney tickets. All teenage gotta haves. But hang out, Mom, because when I come back, I'll tell you about gifts for your 16-year-old that'll never go out of style. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. Forget purple hair. Here's a horrifying pop trend. Car crashes are the number one cause of death for 16 to 24-year-olds. Common factors in almost 7 million crashes involving young adults each year are the dangerous mix of alcohol, inexperience, and a tendency to underestimate risk. Remember when you were bulletproof? So before your 16-year-old blows out the candles, consider enrolling them in a defensive driving course. And before the ink's dry on your 18-year-old's permanent driver's license, think of installing a vehicle monitor on their cars. Unlike last year's styles, these are gifts that'll last. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi. My name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, frauds, working class heroes, victims, the needy, Republicans, haters, whoever wants to listen, good morning to you. You can blog at morningsedition.com, blog it up. See if they'll let you. See if they'll let you into the inner circle of the blog.
The Sanctum Sanctorum.
Dude, I think I got a beard going. Does it look like a beard yet?
Close.
Yeah, I'm not good at growing a beard. I have a.
Are you shaving this for the convention? Because you may not get past the kids.
No, man. I'm letting it go. I have this dream where I grow one of those like the sort of like 8 to 12 inch beards. You know, and I just let my hair go, and I just have, you know, I have this dream that I do that. I don't know why. My wife would never let me, but I've always had this secret fantasy to have a very long beard.
Like ZZ Top kind of thing?
Well, not that weird, but just sort of, you know, maybe a beard that sort of says, hey, I don't work, you know, one of those beards. Hey, do I have a dress code? Uh-uh, I got a beard.
That's right, I'm carefree.
Okay, let's do this. I got to do this now because, you know, Bush was interviewed by the New York Times, and man, yeah, I can't believe the audacity of this dude in reference to, okay, granted, he said John Kerry should be proud of his service. Okay, I think Senator, this is a quote, I think Senator John Kerry should be proud of his record, and no, I don't think he lied. So he did say that, okay, but he did also say, I understand how Senator Kerry feels. I've been attacked by 527s, too. I've been attacked by these type of advertisements. I've been attacked by 527s. Wait, John Kerry was attacked by
bullets, by rocket launchers, by mortar fire, explosions. And you know what? You haven't been attacked like John Kerry. John Kerry's ads against you were criticism. Criticism of the job you're doing. Your attacks were slander and lies. So I'm so like I'm speaking direct to him, like Bush is sitting right here and going, do you hear me, buddy? Do you hear me? It's not the same. Where's that ad? I hope that the Democrats are working on the one that says, you know, George Bush said that I understand how Senator Kerry feels. I've been attacked by 527s, too. John Kerry was attacked by bullets in a war. Where's that one? Here's the big quote here on Iraq. John Kerry says that he will rejuvenate the international reputation of the United States of America. George Bush says, there was a miscalculation of what the conditions would be. That's in it today. New York Times today. George Bush extra, extra says he miscalculated war. Big miscalculation. Had no idea we would be in trouble. Post-war miscalculation.
That's notice he didn't say thing. Mistake, though. He didn't. He said miscalculation, but not because remember when he was asked by that reporter about a mistake, he said he didn't remember it.
Well, where's this at? Do we really have time for a miscalculation like that? Where's that ad from Kerry? I say he does it. He miscalculated on what would be happening after he invaded Iraq on a lie. Do we really have time for another Bush miscalculation?
But you know what? Mark, he's being very, very slick with his run-up to the convention here.
Yeah.
You know, he says now this is his first admission that anything went wrong as far as Iraq's concerned. He also talked about North Korea and plowed right through the contradiction between his position in terms of saying, well, we ought to have a diplomatic solution to North Korea and going to war in Iraq. He really didn't come up with any kind of a plausible explanation for that.
He said, we don't give timelines to dictators. Quote, I don't think you give timelines to dictators. Wait a minute. I recall you trying to enforce a timeline with Saddam Hussein. Didn't you give him a timeline? Now, that guy was less of a threat than Kim Jong-il. Mm-hmm. You know, Kim Jong-tu.
That's King Tim 3.
Yeah. Because this guy wants to sell nuclear arms to everybody. And has plenty of them, whereas Saddam Hussein had none. You gave him a timeline, and he said he didn't have any, and you're like, that's it, we're going in. Hey, he didn't have any. Yeah, what about that? Kim Jong-il has them, wants to sell them. How about maybe opening up a line of conversation, you know what I mean, and try and be diplomatic for a change. Also, here's the killer, the economy. In the toilet, right, Mark Riley?
Absolutely.
Bush has lost 1.1 million net jobs since taking office, okay? The poverty is at its highest. Some 35 million people living in poverty right now. And you know what? Maybe these guys read this today, like we did, because 10 Nobel Prize winners, economic Nobel Prize dudes, 10 Nobel laureates in economics announced in a public letter their endorsement of presidential candidate John Kerry. Why? Because we're in debt. The poor rate is higher than it's ever been. The economy, we're losing jobs. The unemployment numbers, 5.5, which he says are good, is only because the only reason that looks good is some people have been out of work so long that they're no longer even on the record.
They're off the labor force. This 5.5% is just a drop in the bucket.
The thinkers are on board. You know what? That's only going to frighten those people, those fanatical weirdos in middle America who's like, we don't care about economy. We just don't want the gay people getting married or them murdering our babies. That's what it's all about. This president's our guy because he's going to bring us to heaven. And those Jew thinkers in Washington, you know, listen to me, man. These are Nobel laureates. Not all of them are Jewish, but I'm sure a couple. But not all of them are Jewish. Okay, but let me tell you something. If you're afraid of the truth, afraid of the facts, of people that know about how the world is supposed to function properly and run like a smoothly run machine in terms of, like, you know, the economy, they're on board with Kerry because this guy Bush has sunk us.
But you know what, though, Mark? There's always a what me worry moment when George Bush speaks to the media.
Uh-huh.
Here it was during his interview with the New York Times.
Yeah.
They talked about global warming. Now, the administration just delivered a report to Congress Wednesday that said that carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases are the most likely cause of global warming over the last three decades. Now, before this, Bush had said that's not quite his understanding. He was uncertain about whether or not global warming was a big issue, number one, and whether carbon dioxide, which of course is emitted by the kinds of things that humans do, like drive cars and things like that, whether that was really the cause. Now, when he was asked about this by the New York Times and asked whether why the administration changed his position, you know what he said?
What?
Quoting here, we did. I don't think so, unquote.
Let's say that the right way. When asked why the administration had changed its position on what causes global warming, how did the president reply? We did? I don't think so.
Homie, don't play that.
Unquote. Can we really afford another 4 years of George W. Bush? Miscalculation. Miscalculation. How about...
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I got something to say to the whoever it was that wrote us the email. Now, I've been economical on this, okay? I've been prudent. Okay, I was excited, and I want you to notice that today I've been prudent around this issue. And if you think that we are beating a dead horse, okay, I'm reaching out to one person here. I got one thing to say to you.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me don't like John Kerry.
He not good. John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Yeah, you know what? And, you know, it's like that one woman, I think it was a woman, maybe I'm judging, who was like, you know, I think that thing, I can't even listen to it anymore. I'm projecting her voice because it was an email. You know, it's like, talk about beating a dead horse. It's not even relevant anymore. It's not even funny. It's not topical. And it's over and over and over again. Well, I just brought a lot of joy to a five-year-old because we got another email about a woman and her five-year-old daughter who gets a tremendous amount of joy out of that advertisement. So if you want to deny that five-year-old her laughter on her way to school with your arrogance and your inability to be tolerant, you know, shame on you. Shame on you, lady.
That's right. What do you do during Christmas? Burn trees?
Well, yeah, exactly.
I'm only
shame. Kidding. Shame on you. Because I can hear in my head right now a five-year-old laughing, giggling almost uncontrollably.
That's right.
You're beating a dead horse. Shame on you.
That's right.
Unbelievable what people, you know what I mean? The intolerance and strange fascistic behavior of some liberals really, really, really drives me crazy. Can you hear the five-year-old laughing? I can, Mark Reilly.
I can, too, and I can hear Adam tapping away at his computer. Okay, but that's all right, Adam. Come on.
Yeah,
bring it. Going next week into the belly of the beast.
Yes.
We're going into the Republican National Convention. As bad as you all may be with your criticisms of us, watch what happens when we go over there. And, you know, the only black guy we see is Donnie McClurkin on his way to the podium to sing.
When people start coming up to, when people start walking up to Riley going, are you the talent? Are you the singer?
Are you the singer? Or are you bringing food?
Oh, wait, it's the other guy. Yeah. No, wait, it's the other one.
Yeah. Are you the talent or are you Colin Powell?
Yeah. We thought Colin Powell wasn't coming.
I know.
Out of uniform, huh? Go get your uniform and take your seat,
Mr. Secretary.
All right, we'll be back in a second with Mark Umili, whose book is called Bush Unplugged, and we're going to have some fun with him, I hope. So we'll talk to you in a second on Air America Radio.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Vendi with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, Ahmed Chalabi, head of the Iraqi National Congress, has provided faulty intelligence and had the chutzpah to tell a reporter recently that, well, we were heroes in error. And basically saying, who cares what the premise was for this war? We had to get rid of Saddam. We did. And, of course, overlooking the mess.
Well, that's right. And he's a convicted embezzler, convicted in the Jordanian courts for having looted his bank there, Petrobank. I think this is one of the great historic flimflams. He said on Frontline, when somebody asked what the United States got for its $150 billion, and his response was, well, got me back to Baghdad. Ooh. And I think that's the way he sees it. Now, the problem for us is we own this adventure, and we are now condemned to succeed because we will own the failure forever.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, everybody. Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You. 20 past the hour, it's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Air America Radio. We're having a kind of a good time, even though the world is going to hell in a handbasket.
And we're going to have to go to the Republican convention next
time. You know, a lot of liberals mistake pain as entertainment. Anyways, moving on. Self-inflicted, guilt-ridden pain. It's like, why are they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here, and I'm not waking up to feel good. 9 o'clock. Here we go. This is the president's schedule for today. We got it from Ramon, who is now, I believe, here in New York, but in an undisclosed location. 9 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. I love New York. I tolerate New York. I have to go to New York. God, I hate New York. 10 o'clock a.m., work on acceptance speech. Somehow take credit for 9/11 without taking blame for 9/11. 1 p.m., leave for Miami. Note, a city full of old people, Jews, Latinos, and gays. Good practice for New York. 4:25 p.m., receive briefing on Hurricane Charlie. City of Miami Firehouse, schedule 15 minutes to slide down pole like real fireman. Make that 30 minutes. You know, he's doing that in New York, too.
Yeah.
He's going to try to, anyways. Hang out with some firemen. All right, 5 p.m. Speak at rally, Miami Arena, Miami. Notes for speech. I love old people, Jews, Latinos, and gays, in that order. 9 p.m. Send Alice Cooper a thank you telegram for his support. Refer to defense budget as our multi-billion-dollar baby. All right. That's all right. You know, you don't have to if you don't want to. Don't force yourself.
No.
10 p.m. Send Jenna and Barbara to Crawford until night of acceptance speech. Note, keep them out of New York. The way they party, it's only a matter of time before they end up on the Howard Stern Show topless. Yeah! 11 p.m. bedtime. Think happy thoughts. Headline, quote, last-minute security concerns mean convention will be moved to Dallas, end quote. All right, man. All right. So this guest, this is an interesting guy, all right, because... He's the author of Bush Unplugged, The True Patriot's Guide to George W. Bush. He's a freelance writer, documentary filmmaker, member of the NRA, always supported moderate Republicans and conservative Democrats. And when Clinton was impeached, he swore he would never vote Republican again. Mark Umilli is with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark and Mark.
Morning. How you doing?
Not too bad this morning.
So how did this...
out here.
Yeah. Well, good. It's nice to be up early. You can actually get 2 days in one if you work it right. What alienated you from the Republican, especially with this president, if I can be personal for a minute?
Yeah, sure. I'm also along with being a writer and a researcher, documentary filmmaker, I'm also an avid sportsman. I'm a lifelong hunter and fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
And when George Bush was coming to power, it really scared the hell out of me because I knew that back in Texas when he was governor, he had the worst possible environmental record you could possibly imagine, and I'm somebody who really cares about wild places and clean water and
clean
air. And I knew he'd be bringing the same foxes guarding the chicken coop sort of priorities to the national scene that he had in Texas, which were a real disaster for that state. He allowed his big energy cronies that gave him more money than any other group to come into his administration and basically rewrite Texas environmental law. And they treated the state of Texas like a toilet for the most toxic substances known to man.
It's interesting. A lot of people don't realize that some people who are hunters and sportsmen along those lines have a tremendous respect for the environment and actually, you know, observe a certain balance in nature. And when they observe, seasonal hunting, legislation and that kind of stuff.
And we're also known to be a sort of right-leaning group. For the most part, they do vote conservative. More and more sportsmen are waking up, and some sportsmen that I talk to around the country in different groups, they're starting to refer to George Bush as an environmental terrorist.
So that's their primary complaint with this president, as you see people turning away from him who would generally be Republicans?
Oh, no, I'm getting all kinds of complaints. I talk to conservative radio hosts all over the country.
Yeah.
And after the show's over, I tend to get emails from people who say, listen, I'm with you, dude. I voted conservative most of my life, but there's no way I would vote for this president for all sorts of reasons.
And that's actually the host of the show. That's actually coming from the host. He's like,
well,
okay.
It's interesting. Sometimes the host, they read my book, and you can see that they're really having a difficult time. Because they see how they've been duped and buffaloed by the right-wing propaganda machine as well.
It's good news.
Absolutely. And, they get into a lot of the hummada. when they're talking to me also, because I really hammer them.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is Mark Umilli. He is the author of Bush Unplugged, The True Patriot's Guide to George W. Bush. He's a freelance writer and a documentary filmmaker. Mark Umilli, let me ask you about the upcoming convention, where we see an agenda, at least a public agenda, of putting a very moderate face on the Republican Party. Everybody from Arnold Schwarzenegger to Donnie McClurkin is going to be showcased at this convention, and it seems as though they're trying to project this moderate image. At the same time, their party platform is decidedly conservative. How do they get away with this? Can they get away with this?
Well, I would take it one step further. It's not that it's conservative. There's really nothing conservative about this administration. They're neoconservatives, and that's the message that we have to get out there. I mean, these are people that believe in the total merger of corporate and government power. And there's another word for that. It's called corporatism,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, Mussolini called fascism.
Right, but also a good part of their base who don't care about that are completely supporting the merger of church and state.
Yeah, well, it's not that they don't care about it. They don't realize that it's taking place because they've been duped into thinking that this is all about all these red meat issues like, gay marriage and school prayer and abortion, and they're not seeing that George Bush and his cronies, the right-wing corporate elite, as I call them, in the defense industry, in the energy industry, in the pharmaceutical industry, the HMO, the automotive industry, all the industries that are really, making policies that affect everybody on the work.
But don't some of them actually, know that that this is the only candidate that's going to honor their moral and selectively moral extremism in terms of religion?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. However, I think if they knew how badly they're being ripped off.
By their policies.
Yeah, by these policies.
Yes, absolutely.
They would go for it. Because I talk, like I say, I get to talk to these people one-on-one. And, when you give them some hardcore information, it really blows their mind. And what you do is you open a window in their brain. When I was writing this book, I have friends all over the country that are conservatives because of my travels. And, you know, when I was writing this book, I would email them chapters, whether it was on, you know, the Bush's past with their shady business dealings or Bush's connections to Enron or his connections to the Saudis. And I got to tell you, it just blows their mind. And you find that it opens a window in their brain and they start listening to information with a new ear. And, you know, through what I'm doing, I've been able to lock a lot of these people off the fence. And that's what Bush Unplugged is all about. And by the way, can I say, if you want to learn more, go to bushunplugged.com.
Okay, Mark Umilli, why don't you stay with us? We're going to take some calls. We used to solicit those calls, Mark Riley.
Absolutely,
we'll
will
be back
do.
With him in just a second.
Our number, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, 2270. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We'll be right back with more with Mark Umilli. And, of course, you on the telephones, the Presidential Daily Briefing, and comedian Louis Black when Air America Radio continues.
Election is just around the corner. The right has their propaganda. Make sure you have yours. Northern Sun can help. For over 25 years, we've been supplying the American left with t-shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and a whole lot more. Do you think we need a president selected fairly? Tell your fellow Americans with a bumper sticker. Redefeat Bush in 2004. Do you think we need a smarter president? Say it with a t-shirt. Somewhere in Texas, there's a village missing an idiot. Do you think we need an honest president? Tell him with a bike sticker. Bush lied, thousands died. With hundreds of bumper stickers, buttons, and American-made t-shirts, Northern Sun can help you wear your thoughts on your sleeve, car, or bicycle. Visit northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog. And if your group has a unique message, we can custom print it on shirts, buttons, or bumper stickers. Remember, regime change begins at home, so let's vote Bush out. Call 800-258-8579 or visit northernsun.com. Thank you, and God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Mark Shearer. Italy's Premier Silvio Berlusconi says Italian troops will not leave Iraq in the wake of reports that kidnappers have killed an Italian journalist. At the Olympics in Athens, both Iraqi and Italian soccer players were planning to wear black armbands during their semifinal match today. New fighting has broken out in central Baghdad. In Najaf, a truce arranged by Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani appears to be holding. Cuba has broken diplomatic ties with Panama because the outgoing president of Panama pardoned four Cuban exiles accused of plotting to kill Fidel Castro. And Brandon Mayfield, the lawyer from Oregon, falsely accused earlier this year by the FBI of involvement in the Madrid train bombings, has hired celebrity lawyer Jerry Spence to represent him in a lawsuit against the government. When Mayfield was arrested because of an erroneous fingerprint match, the FBI seized his computers and papers, including some Spanish documents that turned out to be his son's Spanish homework. Air America Radio News.
To Mr. Speakerphone with your movie listings for a week off August 30th. Hey, you know what? There isn't a film worth seeing, but here's an idea. How about full coverage of the Republican National Convention on your Sirius Radio? Press 140 here.
Okay.
141 and 142 are conservative views with Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tony Snow. For coverage from the left side, press 143, 144, and 149 to hear Young Turks Live, Air America, and Sirius LQ. The RNC, rated G, opens Monday, August 30th. Thanks for calling Mr. Speakerphone.
This is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Ryan, a 12-year-old, is worried about his parents' debt. I'll talk to him after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Ryan is 12 and wants to do things the right way.
Hi, I was just wondering on how I could stay away from my parents' debt and how I could help them with that debt.
How old are you?
12.
Wow, what a really mature question for a 12-year-old. By stay away from their debt, do you mean not have debt when you're a grown-up?
Not going into the same problems that they're at.
What do you think caused their debt?
Credit cards.
Look, it's credit card debt, but how did they get credit card debt?
Because they bought it.
They bought stuff that they didn't have money to pay for. So the rule is real simple. If you can't pay for it, don't buy it.
Uh-huh.
If you do that one alone, that one thing alone, all of a sudden, you won't have debt. It's not any harder than that.
Now, as far as you helping them with their debt, man, I think that's a real noble and nice gesture on your part. But, my man, at 12 years old, it ain't your job.
Okay.
It's your job to play football in the backyard and get your homework done. And you not to worry about that stuff.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, 33 past the hour. Morning Sedition, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio. Hey, buddy. We're talking to Mark Umili, the author of Bush Unplugged, The True Patriot's Guide to George W. Bush. Mark is a longstanding member of the NRA. He was also, he leans towards moderate Republicans and conservative Democrats, would never vote Republican again. So just, you know, bottom line, what do you think of John Kerry?
Well, I think he needs to really step up the attack on George W. Bush. There's so much information out there, and I've compiled it all in my book. I think Kerry, at heart, is a good man. He really has spent his entire life in the service, in public service, as opposed to George Bush, who spent his entire life in the service of wealthy elites. And there's so many things that Kerry could be, or the Democrats could be putting out there to really nail George Bush and tell the American people who he really is, who he's been connected to, how he became president of the United States, and who he's serving.
He really knows, too, because he's, you know, he knows all about the BCI scandals. He knows all about the Iran-Contra stuff. He really knows the deep, dark secrets of this president. And we're putting it out there, and so are you, which is good. Now, what happened to him? Do we lose him? You there, Mark?
No, he's there.
I'm still here, but when you talk to people in America, you know, they're watching TV, they're listening to right-wing radio, and they're just not getting it. And there's so many people in the middle that can be, that could be turned, and now's the time to do it because we have the information.
Let's talk to some people right now. You want to?
Sure.
Okay, Jeff in Florida. How are you, Jeff?
What's up, Jeff?
Good. How you doing, Mark?
Good.
I wanted to make two comments and one prediction. Number one, going back to what the gentleman on the phone is speaking about and the author is speaking about, so many people are unaware of the reversal of regulations that President Bush is implementing with the swipe of a pen, having nothing to do with having to go back to Congress. Laws that were enacted by Congress are just being overturned, and regulations that were enacted by Congress are just absolutely being overturned
right,
with the swipe of George Bush's pen, and people just are not aware of it.
Right. Joe, let's have Mark Umili address that. Mark, you know what he's talking about?
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, absolutely.
All of them. Give us the list.
Well, if you look at Bush's environmental record, this is something that people really care about. The NRDC has isolated 200 regulations that the Bush administration is turning back without even any public involvement whatsoever. And if you look at who's in his administration, it's stacked and packed with former lobbyists and executives from the very industries that they're supposed to be regulating.
It's shameless. I know there's the oil company people within the environmental agencies. It's unbelievable.
Sure. I mean, Secretary Gail Norton once worked for a think tank promoting commercial development of public lands.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Agricultural Undersecretary Mark Ray, he oversees the U.S. Forest Service's 100 million plus acres of public land. This is a guy who worked for the timber industry for 18 years. Interior Deputy Secretary Stephen Giles. He was the president of a lobbying firm whose clients included utility, coal, and oil interests.
Unbelievable.
They're just having a heyday with federal regulations. And what's really interesting, guys, is let's not forget that they're doing the same thing in Iraq. They're creating the same kind of supply-side privatized economy in Iraq, and that's why there's so much disappointment with the Americans over there, because these people are never going to be able to get involved in their own economy because American companies and cronies of this administration are taking over. It's a corporate occupation of Iraq, every bit as much as it's a military occupation.
Now, Mark, getting back to the environment for a minute, the president did an interview with the New York Times during which he seemed to be confused about the administration's seeming change in position on global warming. Wednesday, the administration issued a report, sent a report to Congress, that essentially said that the carbon dioxide and other gases that trap heat are probably responsible for the bulk of global warming over the last 30 years. When the Times asked him about it, he said there had been no change. He didn't know that there was a change in position. Is this just confusion on his part? Is he that out of the loop on the environment?
Oh, no, it's not confusion. He knew. He knows that he did a flip-flop. Listen, George Bush is well aware of the headlines that his administration put out. He was very, very much, very adamant over the fact that they were going to do something about carbon dioxide. He made those public statements while he was running. Soon after he becomes president, he pulls us out of Kyoto. They do a complete flip-flop on carbon dioxide. And he knows because he made all the speeches. I mean, that's what George Bush does. He's the speech maker.
Yeah.
So he's very much aware of it. Now he's very also, if you look back in his history and if you read my book, every time he's caught doing something wrong, whether it's insider trading or bilking taxpayers in Texas when he made his $15 million in the Texas Rangers deal, he's always saying he wasn't aware of the details or he wasn't aware.
But he knows. He knows.
He knows, yeah.
Let's take a quick call here. Can we talk to Mike here? Mike in New York, how are you?
Good morning,
hey,
gentlemen.
Yeah, quickly, you got a statement or something for the guest?
Quick one. My wife, she works for the NYPD. She's a police dispatcher.
Yeah.
Now she's a Republican, so she's not very happy right now that she's got to work a double shift during this convention.
Right.
Now I told her to go check with the personnel.
Yeah.
Looks like she's going to be paid straight time.
What? Because of these new overtime rules?
Yes.
Oh my God! Let's see if Marky Milley knows something about that. Hey, Mark.
What's that?
Can you address that overtime ruling the other day?
Well, I know that there's something like 6 million people that are going to lose their overtime because of it.
And we just talked to one.
Yeah. And they're trying to present it as something. How are they spinning that to be something good?
Well, I'm really not exactly sure how you could spin something like that to be something good. I mean, I really think they're trying to avoid the issue at all costs.
That's
really what it is. It's just a giveaway, another one of these giveaways to Bush's cronies, who are the same people who wanted him to open up the borders to illegal aliens so they could get work deferments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And cheap labor. And it's the same policy right across the board.
Well, it certainly, you know, defends the case that this guy is a criminal. But the book is Marky Milley. Marky Milley is the author. The book is Bush Unplugged, The True Patriot's Guide to George W. Bush. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Take care. Oh,
whoops.
Yeah, I want you to understand something, that Tim is in charge of the buttons on the phone. I'm going to go ahead and blame my board op for cutting people off too quickly.
Cast fingers, Tim.
Because I've apologized for that before, you know, but yeah, sometimes it's not at my fingertips. Tim, you know what? Next week, Chris is back. You're out. Lewis Black is going to call me in a second. We're going to put him on the air, so stay with us on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
On the first day, he said, let there be light. And there was. And it was good.
Damn.
On the second came the separation of the waters and land and birds and sea creatures. And then man. And it was good. And then, on the seventh day, he created 16 channels of rock.
Rock.
And it was awesome! I'm a rock!
On Sirius. Bingo.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment. Here's Jerry Kay.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas.
It's a hard time, I think, for those who care about the environment. I think we're seeing special interests taking a very decisive role within the policy debates within the administration. We see ex-lobbyists from paper and pulp industry, coal, oil and gas, in important policy-making positions all through our government today. That was never the case when I was at EPA. We're also seeing the White House injecting itself into regulatory decisions, overriding, distorting the science, and essentially making decisions from a political standpoint. I never saw anything like that ever when I was administrator of the EPA under either Nixon or Ford.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's the 2-1. Swing on one! It is!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, that's it. We're back. Morning's edition, 43 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley sitting over there.
Yo!
And now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled, Intelligent Reporting Plus You Equals One Term. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that you recently gave a lengthy interview to the New York Times. We don't mean to sound judgmental or alarmist, but have you lost your mind? It may not be first in the Republican rule book, but it's definitely not in the top 10. Don't talk to the New York Times. They are smart East Coast liberals who despise you and who have made it their goal in life to get you out of office. And what did you do? You spent the whole interview stammering and flip-flopping on your earlier positions. Things like that get reported, hence the name reporter. Just out of curiosity, what did you hope to gain from talking to the Times? Did you think you might be able to reverse 100 years of Democratic partisanship with one stumbling, idiotic interview? With the convention so near, we can't have you losing your mind. Stop scaring us. It is our recommendation that you stay away from the New York Times and all other reporters as much as possible. Limit your comments to two or three words and keep smiling. Oh, by the way, cancel that interview with The Advocate. It's not what you think. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
So it's not the Staten Island Advocate, huh?
That'd be hilarious. On the phone, we have comedian and frequent, of course, Comedy Central contributor. He's performing at the Stand Up for Choice benefit for Planned Parenthood on Monday night at the Beacon Theater. You can call at 212-307-7171 for tickets. I think we'll have that on our website at morningsedition.com. Louis Black, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's delightful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's morning.
You can feel the city battening down the hatches.
Oh, yeah. You ready? What are you doing for the convention?
I'm going to stand and just stare at them. The one in Boston was enough to make you psychotic, and you like them.
Yeah. Were you up there? Yeah, what'd you do up there?
I just walked around weeping. It's like being at a big Christian convention. Everybody's smiling for no apparent reason.
trying to maintain face.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's insane. You know, well, you know what it's like. You guys, when they start interviewing us, we've lost our grip.
Yeah.
You know, when MSNBC is calling me up and saying, can you be on this show when Hardball wants me?
Yeah.
Has everybody died? I kept going to find, there's all of these people to talk to. Yeah. Why would you talk to me?
You're entertaining, Lewis.
Yeah, but for God's sake. You know, that's not their job.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's part of what we do.
Yeah. Wait, let's talk more about this in a second. Stay with us, Lewis. We'll be right back on Air America Radio.
Get ready. The revolution is about to start. The revolution starts now. The all-new studio album by singer-songwriter Steve Earle is available now. The New York Times says Steve Earle is one of rock and roll's most beloved rebels, a roguish singer and songwriter who loves Emma Goldman and hates John Ashcroft. The New York Daily News says Steve Earle makes politics as personal as love. You can order this CD and listen to some tracks from The Revolution Starts Now at Air America's website, www.airamericaradio.com. Don't miss the revolution. Order Steve Earle's new CD from Artemis Records today at www.airamericaradio.com. The Revolution Starts Now is also available at Barnes & Noble music locations.
The Revolution Starts Now.
Welcome to Mr. Speaker's Hall with your movie listing for the week of August 38. You know what? There isn't a film worth seeing, but here's an idea. How about full coverage of the Republican National Convention on your Sirius Radio? Press 140 to hear.
Okay.
141 and 142 are conservative views with Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tony Snow. For coverage from the left side, press 143, 144, and 149 to hear Young Turks Live, Air America, and Sirius OutQ. The RNC, Rated G, opens Monday, August 30th. Thanks for calling Mr. Speaker's Hall.
Attention swimmers! Get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water immediately!
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Weatherman shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
If you look in your kitchen cabinet, chances are good that it contains iodized salt. Not so for millions of people all over the world who don't know to use iodized salt or can't get it. Iodine deficiency is the major cause of severe learning difficulties in children and can even cause a drop in IQ of 10 to 15 points. The solution? Use small amounts of iodized salt regularly. Help future generations reach their full potential. And please, pass the iodized salt.
We've begun our descent. See the runway. It's Mark Mariner with Mark Riley.
Hi.
On Air America Radio. This is Morning's Edition. We're talking to Lewis Black, who's going to be appearing at Stand Up for Choice at the Beacon Theater on Monday night. Is that sold out, Lewis?
No, I think we've still got tickets.
All right, 212-307-7171. More information on our website, morningsedition.com. So, hey, what do you think of Kerry lately? What do you think about these Swift Vote for Truth guys?
Well, what about this? Just as you probably already talked about it, that wake up and that thing in the Post, that they got another guy?
Well, yeah, what do you mean? Another guy who,
The Admiral who says that they, who talked to Robert Novak, which means what?
He's lying.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's like, come on. He's never, and he goes, I've never talked to anybody. You know, I don't have any political affiliation. But he injured himself with a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
And that's how he got his first Brevard.
That's ridiculous.
This is like an acid flashback.
Right. I mean, these guys are, they're clearly lying. All of them are lying.
It's just beyond belief. It is, and what I got to say about the Republicans is it's this spectacular. I've never thought I'd live, you know, I knew 1984 hadn't come, but now it's here.
Yeah, finally, the wait is over.
It is. You know, if you say it long enough, they'll believe it. I mean, there's no discussion of anything except his Vietnam War record. What happened to the oral sex arguments? It makes you pine for that.
At least when they were slandering people and it was at least lurid and exciting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. I didn't have to go back into the bushes and relive Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times do we have to go through everything over and over and over again? You know?
Yeah.
God, couldn't they have just found an intern that had done something with him and then we could be, you know, move along? But no!
We've got to go all the way back to Vietnam.
We've got to go back to Vietnam. We've got to go through all the pictures again. I've got to go through all of that. I mean, going through it once was enough. It's like this benefit I'm doing. It's kind of like, are we insane? We have to go discuss choice again?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times do we got to discuss it? You know, they're nuts. Okay, that's it. Ball game's over. They're crazy.
Persistent, though. That's the thing. They're persistent. They never stop coming.
They don't. And look, and you can't, look, if, you know, I'm Jewish. You know, guess what? We don't believe in hell, so We're not going anywhere.
Exactly.
We're still waiting for the Messiah, and then he'll tell us if we made a mistake.
But you know that evolution isn't true.
I know, that's my favorite. That's why I really like discussing these things with these guys. The fact that they have no concept. That, you know, how do you think evolution isn't true? Like, it's fossils. We win. Don't we win?
We've got proof.
We have it.
The proof is the jury's in.
Yeah.
What do you think of these protesters? You think they should do it? They shouldn't do it? Is it all this big conversation? Like, don't get violent. Do get violent.
I think they can't get violent. You know, we're screwed. If they get violent, we're screwed. Then it's just another. Then it's another. Then it's like, look, it's 68. I told you. He was in the boat, and they're exactly the same people. It's the same. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord knows. Why? Look, you know, it's tough enough living in this city. I don't need people throwing stuff. It's hard enough on July 4th to get through the streets of New York.
Yeah, let alone. But I didn't. Well, I didn't mind. There was like 12 people that took their clothes off.
Well, that's perfect.
More of that.
You know, more of the stuff that kind of scares Republicans. That's the violence doesn't scare them. They like that. Then they are allowed repression.
Yeah. You're feeding right into
it. Freaks them. They don't know what to do with it.
So what do you think? You think that there's a possibility that Osama bin Laden might give the keynote speech?
Oh, man.
Do you think they got him or they don't? What do you think?
I just don't think the final thing ultimately about me and government is that they're not that capable. I don't think they have them. I think they're incompetent.
Yeah.
I'm never that paranoid because I kind of go, they can kind of like blow hard and do stuff and finagle, but they're never really good when push comes to shove.
Yeah. So you think that there's no way for them to look moderate. They're going to try and look moderate at the convention, and I just think, how are they going to avoid the fact that their entire base are a bunch of religious fanatics?
Well, it's going to be tough. And those Darth Vader masks aren't going to help. what they did, they're going to send out all these guys. What happened to McCain?
Yeah. No, he just sold out that guy.
It was like watching Sammy Davis hug Nixon. It all comes back again.
See that? We're back to Vietnam.
It all goes back. We're going to have to go through this again. It's like a tape loop. It's Groundhog
Day.
Yeah,
where's Rowan and Martin when you need them?
Exactly.
One of them's dead, unfortunately.
And don't think I didn't try to pitch that show, Mark.
the new laughing. It'll be perfect.
What? I mean, it actually is. I was screaming about it at somebody. I kept going, well, let's just go back there.
I think you can still get George Slaughter. He's still around. Did you talk to him?
Of course he is. He's never going to die.
He's the guy that produced it, for those of you who don't know. So are you going to be in town for the whole week, or are you going to split? Be honest.
No, you got to. I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the way we make our living. I've got to see this. That's another 20 minutes for my eyes.
Yeah. Who else is on the show with you this weekend?
We've got Joan Osborne, Lou Reed.
It's a variety show.
It's a whole thing. And then they're giving Cynthia Nixon, Michael McKean, Patrice. Will be there.
Patrice O'Neill.
Westhoffer.
Patrice O'Neill. Yeah. Moby's going to be there.
Yep.
Oh man, it's like it's a cavalcade.
Oh wow, Moby, no Eminem then.
So when you were up at the Democratic convention,
yeah.
What was the most significant moment? Did you have any moments with any of the freaks?
The best was when I went into the little cage, because the Democrats had done such a good job of containing protesters, they actually put them in that cage area.
Yeah.
And I went in at like 9 o'clock in the morning to do it for the Comedy Central website to cover it, and I went down to see. There's nobody. They literally 10 people in there, and a guy with a boombox singing 80s disco with the mic, and the 10 people yelling, "Get off the stage!" So I stand there and start yelling and screaming about this is, you know, the end of protest as we know it.
Yeah.
And I get a crowd of 50 people. I'm going, this is, but I'm screaming at them. What's the matter with you? And the protest signs We're all facing into the pen.
Yeah.
Nobody can see the signs anyway. Even, I mean, how dumb of a protester got to be? You're protesting, and you've got the sign pointed at yourself. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Lewis. We got a fax coming in. That's Lewis Black. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You take care. I'll plug the show again at the end here. Here's a liberal agenda. That was great. He's got to get back to the oxygen tank. Anyway. Here, cheers. Lewis, that's great. He's hilarious. One, checklist for next week. Sleeping bag for Central Park protest. Screw the rules. We're still going. Tear gas goggles. Video camera to take your own beating. Two, have Donald Trump videotape message for Times Square Jumbotron. Quote, George W., you're fired, end quote. Three, in the spirit of racial unity, arrange white chicks double date between Wayans brothers and Bush twins. Four, designate all New York City public toilets as Republican free zones. Five, phrase of the day, drop it into conversation. Quote, how can a tree be off limits? Trees don't vote, man. End quote. Thanks again to Lewis and all our guests. The information for the concert is at morningsedition.com. Riley?
All right. Coming up on Monday's Morning Sedition, we're broadcasting from the belly of the beast. That's right. We kick off Air America's coverage of the Republican National Convention live from Madison Square Garden until they throw us out. That's Monday's Morning Sedition right here on Air America Radio. Good weekend, Aaron.
You too, buddy.